Yeah, the numbers are flawed. They're no good.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Thursday, July 14th, 2022. This is your award-winning Keep Our Nation Media Assassination, episode 1468.
This is No Agenda.
Celebrating macaroni and cheap cheddar melted together and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA Region Number 6 in the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where I'm in Northern Silicon Valley, I'm John C. Dvorak.
Greg Bob and Buzzkill in the morning. Riveting.
Oh, yeah, I try to keep it lively.
At least we know where you are. That's good. Yeah, for the assassins. Hey, man, Mac and Cheese Day, International Mac and Cheese Day. Congratulations.
And then congratulations to you. It's also Bastille Day.
Well, I don't know which one to celebrate. I don't have many Bastille Day clips. I do have mac and cheese clips throughout the years, as we have been predicting the consumption of mac and cheese increasing since 2000. What do you think? Nine?
Yeah, five.
2005. No. This does go back to those days, though. Quickie.
Due to the spike in demand, food giant Kraft Heinz is adding more shifts at packaged food plants, specifically those that make, mac and cheese.
Yep, mac and cheese.
They spend their time on the baby formula plants, but no, mac and cheese.
You remember, well, this was before the baby formula problem. This goes back to the programming. You'll remember President Obama on Thanksgiving.
Well, this is one of the fun parts of being the president.
Yep, today Mr. Obama pardoned two turkeys. Their names, Mac and Cheese. The president asked his daughters if they'd like to pet the birds. Both girls declined. These turkeys will be living out the rest of their days. Thanks.
Mac and Cheese, the turkeys. Who
well,
doesn't remember
them?
Yeah, so we started to do jingles and people started to get into it.
You slaves can get used to mac and cheese. Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese.
Macaroni and cheap cheddar melted together.
Mac and cheese. Mac and cheese. Mac and cheese.
Let me see. What else did we have back in the day of mac? Well, of course, we had the classic George Carlin.
Millions of semi-conscious Americans day after day shuffling through the malls, shopping and eating, especially eating. Americans love to eat. They are fatally attracted to the slow death of fast food. Hot dogs, corn dogs, triple bacon, cheeseburgers, deep fried butter dipped in pork fat and cheese whiz, mayonnaise soaked barbecue, mozzarella, patty melts. Americans will eat anything. If you were selling sauteed raccoons' assholes on a stick, Americans would buy them and eat them, especially if you dipped them in butter and put a little salsa on them. This country is big time, pig time. Forget the bald eagle. You know what the national emblem of this country ought to be? A big bowl of macaroni and cheese.
Living the mac and cheese life.
Mac and cheese.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, predicted and came true. Mac and cheese, our national meal.
Yeah.
And it's really only
in
the United States. I think Australia's pretty big on the mac and cheese. But in Europe, it's like, no. Well, I don't think that's a thing, mac and cheese in Europe. In fact, I remember distinctly when I was living in the UK, they would make fun. Oh, yes, you Yanks, you like mac and cheese. Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese, yeah.
Yeah, and root beer and peanuts.
Only if you fist them properly. Yeah, I was actually, I'll just get this out of the way real quick. Did we talk about that, the picture that one of our producers sent to me of the bird seed farmed for the future? It was mealworms. Did we talk about that on the last show?
No.
Okay. Well, okay. So I have this picture of these mealworms, and it's made, and it says right there on the back, farmed for the future. And has all the, and it's like really, it's for your bird, but it's grown for chubby pet products. And we love animals. And this is all, strict selection means we can offer the most nutritious mealworms. These are the greatest world mealworms ever produced. They've been raised and refined to the very highest quality through a 100% natural scientific genetic selection program. So it's genetic mealworms. And then it says, in not really small letters, not yet certified for human consumption. Not yet certified for human consumption. And then I caught this little snippet of an
ink. You have a photo of this
box?
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's a bag. Yes, I have a photo from one of our producers.
It's a bag.
It's a bag.
bag of worms.
Yes. Protein, 59%. Fat, 24%. Fiber, 6%. Not yet certified for human consumption. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, yeah, Texas Slim was talking about this on a recent interview. Listen, he's from the Beef Initiative.
So I have to put
it. So he went out on a tour, 8,000-mile tour, and went around, Texas. He went to Tennessee, Colorado, is going to Georgia. And he's trying to get, ranchers to sell directly to people. But he's really educating people about food. And this is a great lesson.
So I have to put the proof of work. I have to go out there and educate, because a lot of people that I did talk to, they don't really understand what's going on with food. And I totally am empathetic with that. People, we're going through a global industrial food shift is what I call it right now. And you're starting to see what's happening in the Netherlands and Europe and across the world. They're coming after our food. And I'm not going to be this dooms dude, but global shift. And it's been planned for decades. And the last time that they all got together and really signed some contracts on the global and government and corporate level was 2017 and 2018. They've had 4 years to do what they're doing. COVID was a distraction. Yeah. And it's going to move forward. And they're taking the cow, they're taking the animal, and taking the soil out of your consumption model. And they're going to tell you that you're saving the planet and that it's going to taste good.
Exactly. Just like mac and cheese. No animal. No, all done in the lab. You're saving the planet and it tastes great. Mikey even likes it. So I think that, yeah, that bird seed with the mealworms, of course it's intended for human consumption.
Okay, well, that's one way to start the show. Gross everyone out.
Reality, brother. Reality. Okay, you go. Let's see. Will Biden gross us out less? Will COVID gross us out less? Will Roe v. Wade gross? No, that's actually pretty funny, the Roe v. Wade stuff.
The Roe v. Wade stuff's hilarious. Well, you mentioned Biden. So I got my five Bidens. I do my five a week.
Five Bidens, everybody. Five a week. He's blowing his wad all in one show. Five Bidens.
Five Bidens. And here's just the background on his Biden on... Let's see, Biden on Israel, Biden to Israel, one of the two. Let's listen to Biden. Let's listen to Biden on Israel. This is Biden.
Because the connection between the Israeli people and the American people is bone deep. We have reaffirmed the unshakable commitment of the United States to Israel's security.
Okay, bone deep. Not quite sure.
Okay, let's go to Biden to Israel.
In the day's other news, President Biden is in Israel tonight, kicking off his first Middle East tour as president. As he arrived, he declared the U.S. and Israel have, quote, a bone-deep bond. He was briefed on missile defenses, and he laid a wreath at the nation's Holocaust memorial. He heads to Saudi Arabia later this week.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, it's Holocaust memorial, so let's go to Biden flubbing on Israel.
I will once more return to the hollow ground of Yad Vashem to honor 6 million Jewish lives were stolen in the genocide, and continue, which we must do every day, continue to bear witness. To keep alive the truth and honor of the Holocaust, horror of the Holocaust, honor those we lost.
I know. Honor of the Holocaust.
I saw that. I'm like, poor Joe. Poor the big guy has gone and done it again.
Well, here's his gaffe. I thought this was the gaffe of the week.
Hold on a second. Le gaffe du week. Okay.
Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, 1918. 17 dead.
In 1918 instead of, what was it, 2018?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
1918.
So I hear 25th Amendment popping up here and there now.
I have not. And let's go to this last one where he finally gets, they cut him loose. He gets away from his handlers and he goes after some reporter. And my favorite thing's he calls him Jack. Hey, Jack.
Civil rights pioneer Mary McLeod Bethune is the first black.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the wrong one.
Biden, 92%.
Oh, I see. There was a space.
Mr. President, what's your message to Democrats who don't want you to run again?
They want me to run.
Two-thirds say they
read
don't.
Read the polls. Read the polls, Jack. You guys are all the same. That poll
showed that 92% of Democrats, if I ran, would vote for me.
A majority of Democrats say they don't want you to run again in 2024.
92% said if I did, they'd vote for me.
All right. That was President Biden yesterday insisting that he has not lost support among his own party, even as a new poll shows that 64% of Democrat voters do not want him to run again in 2024. The 92% number that the president refers to is only for Democrats who would vote for him in a rematch with President Trump if the election was held today.
So he was correct.
Yeah, 92, Jack.
Hey, Jack, but you know, even Maria Bartiromo, money, honey, she's burying the lead. That means that 8% of Democrats would vote for Trump over Biden? That's news.
Yeah, it's actually pretty phenomenal.
And here's a short clip of the headline.
President Biden travels to the Middle East today with his poll numbers dropping. His approval rating is down to 33%. And according to a New York Times poll, 64% of Democrats want the party to nominate a different candidate in 2024. In response, the White House said it's focusing on delivering for the American people, not on polls. But there is a glimmer of hope for Biden. The poll found if the election were held today, he'd beat former President Trump 44% to 41%.
I don't know what that number, where that comes from. At the end, had you heard that number?
44% to 41%.
Yeah, I did. That was not. Let me just hear that again.
But there is a glimmer of hope for Biden. The poll found if the election were held today, he'd beat former President Trump 44% to 41%.
So, okay, I'm not. You know. Polls, man, polls.
The polls are full of it.
What I like is the new citizen polling that's going on. Have you noticed this?
No.
People are I'm sorry, not polling, it's trolling.
I'm dealing with gun violence.
What do you think about Hunter?
Because make no mistake, sit down, you'll hear what I have to say.
What do you think about Hunter? Your son. There's a video of him arguing with a hooker about how much crack he has. What do you think about that, Mr. President?
Okay. Now, were you able to hear the troll at all? I don't know how that comes through.
He's yelling and screaming about Biden.
About Hunter. Yeah. How about the Russian hookers and the crack? See, this is good. You need to embarrass the elites, memes and this kind of stuff.
What's the one that happened off to Trudeau where the guys in the background yelling, traitor, traitor?
Oh, there was a lady up on a cliff and Trudeau was walking down below and she's yelling, you traitor. And he's pretending, you know, doing basically who did that? Reagan? I can't hear you. Or was that Bush? Or all of them? Alex Stein, have you seen him trolling? You remember Alex Stein? He's the guy who, he's from, I think, Dallas, and he goes into school board meetings and pretends he's ultra woke.
Oh, yeah, that guy. He's great.
So he went to the Capitol and is now on the steps of the Capitol, and along comes AOC.
See, my favorite big booty Latina. I love you, AOC. You're my favorite. She wants to kill babies, but she's still beautiful. You look very beautiful in that dress. You look very sexy. Look at that booty on AOC. That's my favorite big booty Latina. I love it. My favorite AOC. Nice to meet you, AOC. Look how sexy she looks in that dress. Woo, I love it, AOC. Hot, hot, hot like a tamale.
You know, the media, since they won't report real news.
Yeah.
They could have fun just doing this because obviously the editors have told the reporters, no, you can't report on Hunter Biden's laptop or any of that stuff. No, you know, there's guys, there are reporters that are trying to make a name for themselves that have maybe access to this thing and they won't let them write about it. That's obviously what's going on.
Well, yeah, certainly not about Hunter Biden's laptop. But
on other topics.
I was just going to say, AOC is really upset. She feels, you know, of course, this was violent.
Violence should be violence. So what difference does it make?
She's unprotected. No one's protected at the Capitol. And how can this be? And, you know, maybe the Capitol Police are in on it, just like they were in on it at January 6th, which I wish I had that clip. I thought I clipped it. She actually said, you know, we don't talk about it, but there were people on the inside. So, which is really interesting. Because instead of saying, you know, there were shills who were posing as Oath Keepers or Proud Boys or whatever, who were FBI agents, she's saying the FBI agents were rogue agents on the inside who were participating in helping the insurrection. I mean, This is
an interesting interpretation.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. I liked it.
She needs to be harassed. I mean, she's all you have to do
don't say that like that. That's very bad. She needs to be harassed. It's okay if she's we think it's funny.
I'm saying this because if you remember when Maxine Waters came out, we probably still have the clip somewhere where she encouraged people to harass Congress. She went out on the stump and encouraged the public to harass Congress.
Yeah, what was that in? I know we have it somewhere. I just
get in their face, she said. So now, what's the big deal? That's what these guys are doing.
Yeah. You're right. You're right. But it's I just don't want you being equated with Maxine Waters. I'm protecting you.
I don't think that's ever going to be an issue.
I have so many Maxine Waters clips. I have no idea what that would be called. Unfortunately. No, I don't know. Yeah, sorry about that. We did, I think there was a little bit of, this January 6th. Are they doing now the 7th or 8th trial for this January 6th thing?
Well, they had some hearings on Tuesday that were all seemed to semi-cancel or they ended them early.
What I heard or what I read?
What was that all about?
Well, what I read is that, I think there was supposed to be one today and Banyan was supposed to be, he said, hey, I'll testify, but only if I can come in and do it live. And the Q mailing list tells me that the reason why is Banyan was going to lay out the evidence that the FBI had infiltrated the group and that they actually kicked off the insurrection. And since he said, I'll testify, but only live, they canceled the hearing because they thought they could get him on tape and do little clips and snippets.
Oh, yeah, that's what you want to do.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, well, Banyan has enough media experience.
Yeah, here I have.
In fact, he's one of the executive producers of the Seinfeld show. People seem to forget that little ditty made him a millionaire
multiple times over. Here's a PBS segment on the. Let's get up to date, I should say, on the January 6th hearings. J6 insurrection.
The January 6th committee hearing this afternoon, the 7th public meeting, ended with a dramatic revelation. Vice Chair Liz Cheney said former President Trump recently called a witness the committee was talking to.
I love this. Somehow they're trying to pull this witness tampering. This is not a real trial, people. This is like a little thing Congress is doing, the Senate is doing. And they're talking about witness tampering. This is illegal. Refer to DOJ.
An action the committee referred to the Department of Justice as potential witness tampering. Over the course of 3 hours, the committee also laid out in detail a series of events leading up to the insurrection on January 6th. That began weeks earlier in a mid-December White House meeting that one former aide called unhinged, as allies of then-President Trump repeated baseless claims about election fraud and urged action to overturn the results. Later that night, Mr. Trump sent a tweet that one committee member called a call to arms for his supporters. Big protest in D.C. on January 6th. Be there. We'll be wild, he wrote. As the committee showed, supporters of the former president, including members of a far-right militia group, heeded his call. One person even predicted a red wedding. That's a pop culture reference to a massacre on January 6th. Jason Van Tatenhove, a former spokesman for the Oath Keepers, drew the connection and concern for the future.
If a president that's willing to try to instill and encourage to whip up a civil war amongst his followers using lies and deceit and snake oil. And regardless of the human impact, what else is he going to do if he gets elected again? All bets are off at that point.
I have two clips.
You have to go. I have a J6 hearing clip. Okay. It's from last show, so you have to do it. Look in your little database.
My little database is huge.
I bet it is. I'm wondering when I get my copy.
Hey, I just need your address again.
J6 analysis, wacky.
Oh, yes, I have that.
Over president's attempts to overturn the 2020 election results in that state. Ron, is it me you're getting just a little hot in here?
Of course, the former president is no stranger to legal exposure, but right now the heat is pouring in from every register in the room. That Georgia tape recording of Trump saying, "Just find me 11,000 votes," seems the best evidence we've seen so far. It's always seemed like the clearest path to a criminal proceeding.
Oh, this is...
What? Wait a minute.
Criminal proceeding. Well, this is the same thing as AOC's analysis. These people think that he's calling like a crime mob boss. Hey, find me. You know what I mean when I say find me? But really, these votes, I mean, across the country, in any election, if you go and dig and find a box, you could find some votes that have been misplaced or whatever.
So he says, that just like you got to, people have to listen to this clip with this in mind. According to this analyst on NPR, Trump says, find me 11,000 votes.
Right.
There it is. The smoking gun. He should be in jail for saying, find me 11,000 votes. Now, I don't know what politician hasn't said something like that. If you know, I'd like to find out who they are. But find me 11,000 votes. Hey, Bill, can you find me 11,000 votes? Arrest that man. Are these people nuts?
Yes. And yes. I'm sorry. Yes. Correct. But they're only nuts in that they have a complete different view. And you know, I wonder, because you know, that's on a phone call. If you hear the whole phone call in context, you're like, yeah, okay. You know, but it's just, come on. I mean, you've worked in media companies. Shit gets chopped down and there's derivative after derivative. And then before you know it, that's just the way it is, Jack. That's just what it is. And there's no argument. And you don't, I don't have to go back and look at that. We already know that this is true. Let's listen to that analysis again, because they're set up now, knowing what the punchline is. They're jitty. Oh, it's getting hot in here. Oh, yeah. It heats up. Somebody break out the ice.
Over president's attempts to overturn the 2020 election results in that state. Ron, is it me you're getting just a little hot in here?
Of course, the former president is no stranger to legal exposure, but right now the heat is pouring in from every register in the room. That Georgia tape recording of Trump saying, just find me 11,000 votes, seems the best evidence we've seen so far. It's always seemed like the clearest path to a criminal proceeding.
Okay, so playing into this and the clip before that. So I think this is very weak. These two guys may believe it, but everyone kind of sees that's rather weak. I don't know what they're trying to do. They're trying to not have Trump run because they're afraid that if he runs, he'll win.
I think we have to remind everybody that that's all this is about.
That's all that it's about. They just don't want him running. And they're really trying. And I think they're doing a bad job, because instead of saying, oh my God, he's going to ruin the country, because everyone can just look at the facts, like when Trump was in office, whether it was his doing or not, it was better.
It was better than this.
It was better than this. So instead of, you know, oh, it's good, our democracy, they should just say, do you really want that orange man bumbling around, non sequiturs, making fun of people? Remember how tired you got of him? That's what they should do, because that could play into a lot of people. I think a lot of women would also go, oh, yeah, it was kind of tiring. But no. They've given up, and here is MSNBC, Chip Chat, Chuck Todd, with a group, with a round table of 6 or 7 highly intelligent people who understand exactly what to do. Because what if Trump runs, since we've just given up on that, the J6, Jan 6 Insurrection Committee can't stop him. What if he doesn't accept losing?
If he runs, will somebody explain to me how he accepts losing?
That's a big conundrum. Look, I think there's probably maybe a 15% chance he doesn't run, but very likely he's in.
Seems like all these people have told you is death. Right. That was the only was answer. Is death.
There is.
How the many only, times did you
the
get
The only
that?
Plan we have, this is another Republican congressman, a former Republican congressman, I said, look, we have no plan for this except sitting around hoping he dies.
Okay.
What?
We have no plan. We just sit around and hope he dies.
That's the analysis?
correct.
Let's sit around and hope he dies.
That's all we can do.
Holy mackerel, that is so bad.
So there was a.
That's a borderline clip of the day.
I'll take a borderline. I mean, I got a borderline on the last show.
That's sick.
Now.
And sick and pathetic. It's pathetic more than it is sick, because these people are just beside themselves. You know.
You know what that is? That's leadership right there.
So that it reminds me, people should reread the book Being There about Chauncey Gardner, because it's pretty much what we're witnessing. Chauncey Gardner was a gardener who's a gardener for this whole life. This was a movie. The movie's actually as good as the book. The movie starring Peter Sellers. The book was outstanding, but it's probably got more depth, but the movie
What's it called again?
Called Being There.
Being.
And it's about a gardener who's a moron. He's a moron. He's been a gardener in this family for his entire life, and all he does is garden, and if something happens, the family all dies, and he's now stuck with just still gardening in this family of with people. And he has to get out into the world because they're shutting down the estate, and he has to move out.
Right.
And he is, because all he knows is gardening, and he just had everything he says is about the flowers may grow in the sun. And he just says this stupid, idiotic stuff. And the next thing, you know, everyone thinks he's a genius because he's seeing things that you and I can't see. He's visualizing the future.
And he ends
up becoming president of the United States.
Yes, I do know this story. Wasn't there a famous actress in there as well?
Yeah, there's a good actress. And this
Was it Diane Keaton? Or
I think it was Diane Cannon, maybe.
Diane Cannon, man, wow.
So it was an example where people are hearing what they want to hear, seeing what they want to see.
Right.
And for some reason, they focus on this idiot, and he just goes to the top. But this is the same thing we're witnessing here with these.
Shirley MacLaine. There you go. Thanks,
Charles. Oh, Shirley MacLaine. That's even better, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So there was a clip trending of John Bolton. You probably saw it. And everyone's like, John Bolton, he did coups. Oh, I can't believe he admitted it. He said the quiet part out loud. Have you noticed I've taken on Twitter as a whole character? Oh, by the way, Twitter was down this morning for about half an hour. And I would like to remind everybody, I know, I immediately, I was happy because like, oh yeah, finally, the insurrection. Twitter has taken themselves down. That would be great. It came back up, unfortunately. But I want to remind everybody, when you send me, people send an inordinate amount of links that are either to Twitter, which means I have to go to Twitter, then click on another link to go to the original story. I'm also typically not interested in the thread, so people will post the whole thread. But when you do that, or when you post it to anything that is an intermediary, there's a chance that, I mean, it could have been that I might have had, you know, a third less clips this morning if Twitter had stayed down. So, in general, it's a good idea to not just send me the link where you got it from, but, you know, try and get the original. It's what good producers do. So, this link is John Bolton with Tapper. And when I looked at the full clip in context, it was much more interesting than just this coup thing that everyone was bitching about. Because the question, kind of what Jake Tapper was saying, is, how is it possible? Is Trump so stupid that he surrounds himself with these nut jobs like what's her name, Sidney Powell, and Banyan, and the MyPillow Mike, the MyPillow guy. And then it gets into the coup thing, and Bolton is really downplaying it and really saying, you guys, I think, if we'll listen to it, you guys are nuts. This is just who Trump is. He didn't plan anything.
Heed the advice and keep shopping around until you end up with this group of misfits with like Michael Flynn and Sidney Powell. Is he just not capable of hearing no?
Well, when it comes to his personal advantage, the answer is he doesn't listen to anybody else. But I think it's also important to understand, while nothing Donald Trump did after the election...
Holding on.
So there's actually, I've seen this clip too, but I didn't notice this one part. And he kind of throws a I'll give Bolton credit for this. Bolton's trying to make himself,
Himself more important looking, of course.
Also trying to bring himself back into the party after turning on Trump.
Right.
With that horrible, useless book. But he throws a little boomerang at Capper, and he says, and he just mentions, he says, Trump doesn't listen to anybody. And don't you notice that he's saying in subtext, he's not saying this, but he's saying, haven't you noticed that Trump never listens to anybody? And haven't you noticed that's all you guys talk about is Trump doesn't have any advisors he listens to? He just does whatever he wants to, because that's what you've been saying all these years, that Trump just does what he wants to. Now you're saying the opposite?
I don't think Tapper quite catches that irony.
No, he didn't catch anything. It was just a quickie, too. It was just Bolton throwing it out.
Oh, is he just not capable of hearing no?
Well, when it comes to his personal advantage, the answer is he doesn't listen to anybody else. But I think it's also important to understand, while nothing Donald Trump did after the election in connection with the lie about the election fraud, none of it is defensible. None of it is defensible. It's also a mistake, as some people have said, including on the committee, the commentators, that somehow this was a carefully planned coup d'etat aimed at the Constitution. That's not the way Donald Trump does things. It's rambling from one half vast
idea. Wait a minute, what happened to 7D chess?
Idea to another, one plan that falls through and another comes up. That's what he was doing. As I say, none of it defensible. But you have to understand the nature of what the problem with Donald Trump is. He's, to use a Star Wars metaphor, a disturbance in the force. And it's not an attack on our democracy. It's Donald Trump looking out for Donald Trump. It's a once-in-a-lifetime occurrence.
I don't know that I agree with you, to be fair, with all due respect.
No, with all due respect, to be fair, I don't agree with you, because January 6th committee, they said it was a plan. It was planning the insurrection for months.
One doesn't have to be brilliant to attempt a coup.
I disagree with that. As somebody who has helped plan coup d'etat,
I like that. It's kind of my favorite of Bolton saying, hey. What he disagrees with is, hey, I've done coups. I'm brilliant, bitch.
Doesn't have to be brilliant to attempt a coup.
I disagree with that. As somebody who has helped plan coup d'etat, not here, but, other places, it takes a lot of work. And that's not what he did. It was just stumbling around from one idea to another. Ultimately, he did unleash the rioters at the Capitol. As to that, there's no doubt. But not to overthrow the Constitution, to buy more time to throw the matter back to the states to try and redo the issue. And if you don't believe that, you're going to overreact. And I think that's a real risk for the committee, which has done a lot of good work, mostly when the witnesses testify, not when the members are opining. It is invariably the case that when you go too far trying to prove your case, you undermine it. And I think you got to give credit to the intelligence of the American people to listen to the witnesses and let them come to the conclusion. And I think the fellow who had actually gone into the Capitol, who said today that he had blinders on and he was too loyal to one person, that is the central point.
Why do you think he says that's the central point?
I don't know why he said it. I'm just guessing that he's probably trying to indicate that Trump was becoming too much of a focal point for too many people. That's all I can think of.
Okay. Because he's not brilliant. Yeah.
His coup thing, his commentary about coups, and like all of a sudden he's a big shot, as though he worked in the CIA.
Hire me.
He's never worked in the CIA, but he has been in the government, and he probably had some input on the boneheaded attempt to get rid of Maduro and place this other guy into it.
Right.
This other character, whose name I already forgot.
The Obama-looking guy?
The Obama guy, yeah. The Obama clone put that guy in, and then even claim he is the leader. He was the head of the Senate, I think, in Venezuela. And nothing came of it. Yeah. And the whole thing was a botch.
A Bolton botch, and so he
didn't get into any more specifics, because if he did, he'd have to mention Venezuela, because I don't know if he said he's been involved in coup attempts, plural, because I don't see, that's not even in the cards as far as I can tell. But I'm sure he had some, he probably was in the meetings, you know, about this idiotic thing that took place in Venezuela during that period.
Just to slander the guy for a moment. Wasn't he the guy that went to like weird sex clubs in New York, or was it the Necrophiliac Club?
I don't think so.
Yeah, you used to say that all the time about Bolton, that he would, or he in some weird swinger sex club.
I don't remember this. It was Bolton. I may have. I've talked about different perverts that, you know, have been involved in these sorts of activities.
Is there anybody you can think of who's been in a weird pervert club in New York?
Well, according to the publishers in New York, Tennessee Williams was a big.
No. I'm sure maybe it was a fart sniffing club. Was that it? Which is a real thing, by the way.
No, I don't know about that. I even heard that before.
It was your story.
Well, it's possible that's my story, but it wasn't about Bolton that I can recall. Mm-hmm. I'll try to remember if I can, but there's not nothing comes to mind about Bolton being a weirdo. I mean, he is a weirdo.
Just looking at him. But what is he hiding behind that stash?
May have been something some time in the past that I was passing. As being a conduit for information, perhaps.
I'm going to transition to the women for a moment. We can't let this one pass by, even though it's overplayed.
This morning, First Lady Jill Biden facing criticism after telling a group of Latino voters they were, quote, as unique as breakfast tacos.
The diversity of this community, as distinct as the Bogotas of the Bronx, as beautiful as the blossoms of Miami,
Bogota.
And as unique as the breakfast tacos here in San Antonio, is your strength.
The comment came during a prepared speech in San Antonio, Texas, where the largest Latino civil rights group in the country gathered for a conference. Now the National Association of Hispanic Journalists is responding in a tweet, encouraging, quote, Dr. Biden and her speechwriting team to take the time in the future to better understand the complexities of our people and communities. The group adding, we are not tacos.
The complexity of reading a teleprompter. Bodega.
So this proves, ridiculous. Of course, Hunter Biden was in the latest tranche of vital information that the news media refuses to even look at, let alone report on, which is a crying shame. He called her a moron and said she was a conniving C word and went on and on. He hates her.
Well, the reason why is, you know, if we look at the history, she was on scene when Hunter's mom was killed.
Yeah.
And she was, it is said, and you can go back and look at it, you know, his Hunter Biden's mom, Joe Biden's first wife, while he was having an affair with Jill. I'm paraphrasing. I may not know if this is exactly right. I'm not trying to accuse anybody, but it's what I've read not on a Reddit post. We've gone through this. Was struck in an intersection by an oncoming truck, and the story goes that Jill Biden was behind the wheel. Mom, behind the mom in a different car, and pushed her car in the way.
Oh, I find that to be hard to believe.
I love it. That's movie of the week there.
It would be rough.
Well, the whole those two came together is interesting.
It's a good story, it's got a dramatic feel. You can see it in a storyline, in a storyboard. You can see it happening on the screen. But Jill Biden, unless she was a spook, and I don't see any evidence of that. But I don't see any evidence of that myself. She wouldn't have the skill set to do that.
I think at some point, Jill Biden's husband, that was a couple of years ago, her ex-husband was talking some smack about her. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Let's move on to, we were talking about Boris Johnson being summarily removed from his post as he's resigning, and who was going to take over. And you mentioned your buddy Gov. You thought
he was not in the running.
No, exactly. You know who is in the running, who has a good shot? According to the polls, which is meaningless, is this woman Penny Mordaunt. And she was, I think she was defense minister. She's been around for a while. She was in the Cameron. She was with Theresa May. And She was asked a question in, this must have been some kind of political affair. I don't know if it was friendly press or not, but asked about, what are you going to do about woke culture? And here was her answer.
Well, I think we should be talking about cost of living. I think we should talk about healthcare. But let me deal with the issue that is floating in the background there. I think it was Margaret Thatcher that said that every prime minister needs a willy. A woman like me doesn't have one.
Yeah, okay.
The hell is that supposed to mean?
It's a double entendre. See, Margaret Thatcher said, behind every great woman, there's a Willie, and that was her husband, Willie, which was a double entendre, it was a joke. Yeah. So what she's saying is, yeah, Margaret Thatcher said, every great woman needs a Willie. There's no Willie on this woman.
Yeah.
Because it's transphobic is what she is. Transphobic. She's transphobic.
Yeah, that's it. That explains everything.
They should get out there and say she's transphobic. There is one other thing that also hit the Netherlands, which is a global scandal, won't go very reported. It's also about taking down politicians. So we're staying on topic.
Leaked files show Uber used aggressive tactics as it expanded around the world. A group of investigative journalists reports Uber lobbied political leaders to rewrite labor and tax laws, and the company's former CEO reportedly used a so-called kill switch to cut off access to its servers during government raids. Uber acknowledged making mistakes in the past, but said its current CEO has transformed the company.
So what you're hearing there is the media running interference for the hundreds of politicians, including Nelly Kroes, who was she prime minister at one point or minister of finance? She was very high up in Dutch politics, super elitist. She and her husband have been implicated in all kinds of, I've always liked her, but she's implicated in all kinds of scandals and corruption. And she completely ran interference for Uber. To get everything set for them to set up their tax haven, their shell company in the Netherlands. And it came out in the paper, and she's like, messed up there. But no, what they're going to do is they're going to, Uber's bad company. That a kill switch. But all these politicians are corrupt, and the media is just not really reporting on which politicians.
Not reporting on anything from what I can tell.
I know, it's gotten boring to watch.
So there is this thing going on with that Uber information, and then some of these other things that the tech community is being targeted with taking advantage of the situation.
I don't know about this.
There is something going on, and I think it's going to come to a head. I'm not exactly sure how or why or when or where, but the tech companies are starting to take some heat for being underhanded,
for being dicks.
For being themselves.
Yes.
Silicon Valley is a nation of liars that have done an outstanding job of promoting themselves. And the Elizabeth Holmes thing is a tip of a general iceberg of people that, you know, this idea of fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
Which works fine in chips. And it works fine in computers that don't do the job, or operating systems that you have to have a EULA to use because they don't work. It works fine in those things. But when it ends up in Walgreens testing people for conditions they don't have, it becomes an issue. And so they kind of cast you to the side. It's not a tech issue. It's kind of it was just a woman. She's a horrible fraud.
And blah, blah, blah. It wasn't an FDA issue at all who approved it. I mean, that makes no sense. But those are just people, too.
But in fact, it was a classic outgrowth of Silicon Valley's technique to lie and cheat to get ahead until they actually maybe make it or they don't. I mean, it's what the whole venture capital notion is all about. You invest in 40 companies and you invest a $1 billion in 40 companies, and then one of them pays off, and you end up with, you put out 40, you get back $120 billion or more. Everyone gets to spread around amongst themselves. It's just, the idea is that most things are crap and they're no good and they're junk and they're never going to work.
Ooh.
But the public doesn't see that.
Let's go to our...
Well, that's why I want the Millennial Mini.
The world is confusing. You're entitled to the truth. So here's the Millennial Mini.
just for you.
Millennial Minute.
So these companies are now shutting down, these delivery companies. What was the most recent one? Here we go. GoPuff. They're closing stores, their distribution centers, and GoPuff was, GoPuff is great. They can even deliver a new iPhone or all kinds of stuff.
I don't know what GoPuff is.
Yeah.
That's not a vape company?
No, it's not. But they're laying off staff left and right. So these companies are all going to have to go broke. And I'm just going to say Spotify is on the list.
You love to do that.
Well,
it all comes around to that. Those bastards.
Yeah. Well, yes, exactly. It's everything in my life is about discrediting Spotify.
It seems to be. It's a major element. It's one of the pillars of Curry.
Well, the thing is that they screwed musicians. Everyone knows it.
Oh,
Everyone everyone keeps using it. Oh, well, I guess that's all we could do. And now, let's screw podcasting. Oh, God. No, I'm too old for that shit. I'm going to stand here and say no.
Yeah, of course.
Now, do we remember Geert van den Bosch? He is a Belgian doctor. He's, except for the fact that his background is veterinarian medicine, the rest of his career is in a way on par with McCullough. Not quite up there because he doesn't publish a magazine. You know, he's not editor of a medical magazine, and he may not have as many awards, but he is highly respected. And he was the guy very early on saying,
I remember him. Yeah.
He said, oh my God, you can't do mass vaccinations during a pandemic. This is the wrong thing to do. Would you mind? I just like to revisit that clip because he published an update. I'm not going to read it, but I'll give you the headline after we just listen to him, his credentials, and what he was saying in March of 2021.
Dear colleagues at the WHO, my name is Geert van den Bosch. My background is veterinary medicine. I'm a certified expert in microbiology and infectious diseases. I have a PhD in virology, and I have a long-standing career in human vaccinology. I'm urging you to immediately open the scientific debate on how human interventions in the COVID-19 pandemic are currently driving viral immune escape. I'm urging you to invite me for a scientific hearing open to the public and to scientists all over the world on this very topic. Ignoring or denying the impact of stringent infection prevention measures combined with mass vaccination using prophylactic vaccines is a colossal blunder. Please do listen to my cry of distress. And let's first and foremost deliberate on a scientifically justified strategy to mitigate the tsunami of morbidity and lethality that is now threatening us.
So you get the idea. I know. And I was upset by it too. So he isn't. And I got this from Sir Gerlach. He published the whole paper, and it's a one-line spoiler. Instead of generating herd immunity, COVID-19 mass vaccination triggers a chain reaction of new pandemics and endemics with major impact on global health.
I've got a long clip.
Okay.
That kind of backs this whole thing up. And it's actually the name of the clip is Immune Escape, which is a term I didn't realize that he used that term in that speech over a year ago. And now it's come back into vogue.
It's from my little database. It's from my little database.
Your little cute little database. It's not until it becomes a
Until it's Oracle, it's no good. It's the joke is gone. It's too late.
I blew it. Yeah. COVID BA5 immune escape.
A new coronavirus subvariant BA5 is fueling yet another wave of COVID infections across the globe. This week, the CDC said BA5 is now the dominant strain in the U.S., accounting for more than 60% of cases. And as William Brangham explains, it is the most transmissible variant to date.
Judy, BA5 has proven to be a very wily variant, able to, at times, slip past some of our current defenses, the protections we get from vaccines and from previous infections. This is driving a lot of reinfections, even among people who recently had COVID. According to the CDC, almost 90% of the country lives in an area with high levels of transmission. On top of that, the U.S.'s booster campaign is lagging. Just 1 in 3 eligible people have gotten their first, and just 1 in 4 have their second. So what does BA5's dominance mean for our ongoing fight against this virus? For that, I am joined again by cardiologist Dr. Eric Topol. He's a professor of molecular medicine and founder and director of the Scripps Research Translational Institute. Dr. Topol, great to see you again. So BA5 is here. Some people have been arguing, well, it doesn't seem to be that deadly and doesn't seem to be driving that many people into the hospital.
Get a booster!
Is there some comfort to be taken in that? Is that true?
It is indeed true, William. The point is we have an immunity wall from all the prior vaccinations and infections and those combinations and boosters. So it isn't having the effect that we saw with the first Omicron, BA1. The problem with all the added mutations that the BA5 has on top of what was BA1 and 2 and 2.1.2.1, it has more mutations, which basically makes it an escape artist. That is, our immune system doesn't recognize it like we did the previous versions of the virus. And that's why some people who have had BA1 in January, February, are getting BA5 here in July. So this reinfection is a very significant signature of immune escape. It's the most reinfections we've seen since the beginning of the pandemic because it's the most immune escape of any variant.
And there's also some evidence that Paxlovid, you know, people, and you go get the Pfizer COVID pill, you get the pill, oh, I feel much better after 3-4 days, and then you get reinfected. And that's usually
talk about that
too. for the new variant. Oh, they talk about that?
Well, that's the clip. The other clip, part two of this, is the Paxlovid clip.
John, we don't even need each other anymore. Okay, let me see Paxlovid.
No, just one clip.
Help me understand what we ought to think about this drug, Paxlovid. It didn't turn out to be a preventative, but it did show promise in stopping people who were infected from getting very, very sick. But there have been a lot of subsequent complications about it and slow rollout of the use of that. What do you make of that drug?
Well, it's certainly one of the triumphs of the pandemic because it went from designing a new drug to having it validated with almost a 90% reduction.
It's a Wuhan lab in a pill.
Of hospitalizations and deaths in less than 2 years. Usually that takes many years. And so it was very high velocity validated.
Eight?
Now,
many.
The problem
Eight
is many. What wasn't seen in the trials is being seen now is this frequent rebound, where people take it for 5 days, they get much better, and then a couple of days later, it starts back up with another, all the symptoms and infectiousness. So the rebound problem is likely tied to the fact that the Omicron variants weren't the ones that were tested when the trials were conducted. And so we don't know right now, should we use longer 10 days instead of 5 days? So we've got to do better.
Yeah, this BA5 is getting some new names. I don't know why we tossed out the whole row of names that we had. Now we're just BA1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Nonsense.
I saw on Yahoo News, they're calling it the ninja variant. And in Scandinavia, they have a name for it.
TV's Beth McDonnell.
Even if you've had COVID twice.
Caught me off guard the first time and then even the second time, not knowing that I could get it again. But I followed the basic precautions in terms of just keeping your distance, wearing a mask.
Or picked it up recently. It was
unpleasant. I got the tight throat. My sister's was more nasal. She got hit badly because she had to miss her grad trip.
You may not be protected against a newer strain of the virus. A new University of Toronto study looking at antibodies generated in people who were either vaccinated or recovered from an illness before 2022 found they were unable to neutralize the virus circulating today.
The Omicron is very much the Houdini strain of the...
The Houdini strain. Okay, let's go look at a map, Don Lemon, over on CNN.
If you look at that map, let's put it up again. It shows how the whole country is in red.
The whole country!
And that's just the cases that we know about.
Is everyone sick at your place, John? Everybody sick? The whole country is red.
Not one person.
Out, since I said a lot of people aren't testing. What is going on with this new variant, Doctor?
Well, it's about as contagious as measles.
Woo!
And it has the most immune evasion of any variant we've seen. And, you know, while sort of a lot of people claim victory in February and municipalities dropped their mitigation mask mandates, the virus kept mutating.
Yeah, you see, it's your fault, you stupid idiots, particularly Republicans.
And it mutated and it mutated. And now there's BA5. And our vaccines aren't really very good with preventing you from getting infected.
Oh, what do you think the next line could be? We know that they
keep it from dying and going to the hospital.
Thankfully, they're still really good at preventing you from getting super sick or needing to be hospitalized or even dying.
Okay, so now let's go to the United... Well, actually, we should probably first talk to our CDC director, Walensky. She's very concerned.
Many Americans are under-vaccinated, meaning they are not up to date on their COVID-19 vaccines.
Didn't we just hear that the vaccine doesn't do anything for this BA5 anyway?
You're under-vaccinated. You're under-vaccinated.
But what difference does it make at this point?
Do you want to die? Do you want to get severely ill and go to the hospital? If you're under vaccinated, you are going to witness that.
Many Americans are under vaccinated, meaning they are not up to date on their COVID-19 vaccines. Not all people over the age of 50 have received their first booster dose. Those who received their first booster dose, only 28% of those over 50 have received a second booster dose. And of those over the age of 65, only 34% have received their second booster dose. So my message right now is very simple. It's essential that these Americans, as Dr. Shah said, get their second booster shot right away.
So
what about the third booster shot? How many people have had the third booster shot?
That's common. So,
well, what about the fourth booster shot? How many people have had the fourth booster shot?
I have but a high school diploma, and I did 3 months at Salem College, my alma mater. But I can read, and what I'm reading is the vaccine actually is creating this, the immunoscape that not only, it's ruined your immunity for other variants of COVID-19, but of all kinds of things. And that it's creating new variants. And this is just a never, I mean, if you look at Van den Bosch's paper,
isn't that the idea?
But it's going to pass back and forth from animals, from livestock, from pets. We're just going to be one big seething group.
How else are we going to get the population down to what it should be?
And this is where Mark Stein comes in. Haven't seen him on years on Tucker Carlson.
Oh, that's funny. Mark Stein is funny. You're right. I haven't seen him for a while.
Lost track of him. I always liked his little bit. So he helps
reasonable.
He helped bring GBN into existence or on the radar, GBN, Great Britain News, I think is what it stands for. And he did this kind of morbid, but I think necessary segment as he's walking through the newsroom. And there's just a whole row of people looking really, here's the setting, a row of people, mostly women, holding up pictures of loved ones.
If you watch other TV stations, if you listen to other radio stations, if you go on social media, the people in this room with me tonight do not exist. In fact, as you can see, they're real, they're flesh and blood, they are your fellow citizens, and they represent hundreds of thousands of other people in every corner of these islands, and millions more around the globe. Yet if they post on Twitter, if they post on Facebook, they are labeled as misleading, as disinformation, and as fake news. These people are not in the least bit fake. They are victims of the COVID vaccines. Some of them have lost husbands, have lost parents, have lost children to these vaccines. Others among us are now chronically injured. They can't work, they can't drive, they're faced with the prospect of having to sell their homes in order to pay medical bills. They're real, and they have been shamefully treated, not only by the state, and by that I don't just mean the Queen's ministers, but Her Very Majesty herself told these people that we should all take the vaccine.
Whoa, blaming the Queen Mum.
So, oh, the Queen.
So, you know, the just like the if you know, you have to take into consideration the media is not reporting on Hunter Biden's laptop. And it doesn't mean this, it's not all necessarily earth shattering, but it is newsworthy. You know, what's
it's
the news?
Beyond newsworthy compared to everything else that's been going on in relation to the first family of the United States of America, from Jimmy Carter's brother, Billy.
Oh, Billy the beer drinker.
To Hillary Clinton's brother, to Bill Clinton's, you know, associates and his secretaries and the people he boffed. It's all it's all usually part of the situation, but this is completely ignored. And this is the best one.
I know, it's
the guy
funny.
Is on video smoking a crack.
Wait,
and he's got
arguing,
hookers with him.
Arguing, I mean, with this, hookers.
This is beyond the pale for like a gold mine for the lurid coverage that you normally expect from the main. No, they don't touch it.
So for the same reason, I think it's fair to conclude that they are not going to report that people are dying from these vaccines. They're not going to report it. They're never going to admit to it. It would be biting the hand that feeds them. I don't like freaking people out. From my calculations, from everything I've read, I think it's a good 6% of people who've been vaccinated who will have severe issues. So you got a good shot. Well, you didn't get a good shot, but you have a good shot at making it through this. You know, there's a lot of doom, like, oh, no, there'll be hundreds of millions dead, you know, just a couple months. You know, I don't think that's true, but they are starting.
Well,
yes.
As a point of curiosity, whatever happened to our EMT guy? I think he's out of Denver.
Yeah.
When it was the first guys who took the shot, and he reported on the show about it. He got knocked out of work. He had hallucinations. He couldn't stand up. He had all these issues.
They thought he was having a stroke. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a mess. And he relented. You know, he said, well, you know, I had no choice. I had to take it. They required it. I didn't want to. I wouldn't have normally. And then he says it was a bad idea. But he did it anyway. A lot of people have.
Come to think of it.
They had to.
I'm a little worried now. I haven't heard from Chad in a while.
Well,
I'm going to reach out to him.
Yeah, let's find out what's going on with him. Because he was early in the game.
Yeah, and he had a very bad reaction. And so did his colleague. Yeah. His colleague got liver damage or something.
Well, I don't know what happened to him. All I remember is Chad.
So here is the chief public health officer of Ontario, and he's being a little cautious about who should, you know, he's kind of saying, well, he's waffling a bit with the language, like, you know, those who are under 17 can get vaccinated. He's not saying must anymore. And the journalists are a little bit confused.
But 60% is better than nothing. So why not just recommend it to everybody instead of saying it's a personal decision?
Because at present we're doing.
Notice how the press is pushing for it. Hey, why don't you say everybody should take it? Why should it be a personal decision? We're the press. Tell us why.
60% is better than nothing.
Tell us what to do.
Yeah, tell us what to do. Tell us what to tell the slaves.
I just recommend it to everybody instead of saying it's a personal decision.
Because at present we're doing a risk-based approach.
What's the risk?
The risk, there's always a risk to having any therapeutic versus a benefit. You want to make sure that...
What did he just say? What did he just call it?
There's always a risk to having any therapeutic.
Is that a vaccine?
You know,
nah.
I would say I think you could, in a broader sense, I think you could say yes.
I think there's a classification for vaccines. And
is the vaccine a therapeutic? Is the question you're asking?
Yeah, I do not. It's vaccines are a biologic. The mRNA quote vaccine is a therapeutic, absolutely. But it's the first time it's being correctly that I've heard is being correctly described as a therapeutic, not a biologic.
There's always a risk to having any therapeutic versus a benefit. You want to make sure there's a very strong benefit versus the risk. If we're an 18-year-old healthy individual, the risk to getting hospitalized, if we have no underlying medical illness, is very, very low. We know there is a risk, a very small risk, 1 in 5,000, that may get myocarditis, for example. You'd have to have that.
One in 5,000, this Jamoke just said, that's very, very low. 1 in 5,000? And what are the chances you get killed by, shot by gun in America, which is always top of the news? Seems like that's a little more than 1 in 5,000, wouldn't you say? That's very, very little.
Yeah, I think he's shot by a gun is something like 1 in 15. I could be wrong.
No, 15, no.
Yeah, I think so, 1 in 15,000.
That may get myocarditis, for example, you'd have to have that discussion on the risk benefit of a complication from the vaccine versus a benefit of decreased hospitalization for a young, healthy person.
Do you agree with this decision then to open it up widely to all adults?
Pardon me?
Did you agree with this decision?
Yes, with the nuances of the language that I'm trying to get across of should get vaccinated if you've got an underlying illness, may get vaccinated under personal circumstances, but with a caveat as well. I don't want anyone thinking this will block their ability to get the bivalent in the fall. It should not.
So I'd like to clarify that the myocarditis risk, my understanding was that it fell rapidly for second and third doses. Is that something that people should still be worrying about in third and fourth doses?
You're right. It can drop off, but for a young, healthy male individual, it's still a concern. It may be less than 1 in 5,000, but we'd have to still do that discussion with an individual.
Yeah, I don't think you're right about gun violence.
I'm looking it up, so just keep playing the clip. I'll find it.
Well, it's not that important. The point is, they're admitting it. At least they're admitting it. It's like, well, and everyone's going like, oh, okay. Well, yeah, you know, it's a danger, but
people admit it here and there. It's not, they get in the news. Get in the news.
Well, not beyond this. No, and the reason.
Of course not. So nobody's admitting it. I mean, who's admitting what? I mean, yeah. Some doctors in the know are admitting it to people in the news media. They won't tell anybody.
Okay, agreed. And just to top all that, let's go to my friend, one of the two Naomis. It's the Wolfmeister, who's she's transformed her company into a company that exclusively, it seems, is pulling apart the Pfizer documents, all trial data they're sending out.
It's a gold mine of potential. And I mean, if somebody can sue and make something work, it's billions.
Here she is talking about the most recent stats.
Yeah, well, the good news, I mean, there's a lot of good news. We had another letter go out to another attorney general, this one in Massachusetts. Two of our lawyers wrote a very stern letter about the harms to pregnant women and babies that the War Room, Daily Clout, Pfizer research volunteers have documented. So that's our fifth attorney general letter. And as you know, because we talked about it last week, the FDA also got back to our team of lawyers who are creating a citizen's petition to stop the FDA from injecting minors. But you're right, they're doubling down. But I have something important to share with you all. Well, one is they're doubling down even though kids are dying. You know, we talked last week about how Rochelle Walensky is just lying about how many kids have died with COVID and absolutely misrepresenting the reality on her own website when she claims that COVID is the top five causes of death for kids. But a very sad data point that is correct from the VAERS database, a government database, which under-records, adverse events, shows that as of the start of July, this July 2022, 126 minors under 17 have died subsequent to being injected with this mRNA vaccine. 55 of these kids died within 7 days of receiving the injection.
I think your gun violence number is one in about 9,000.
Well, I've got it. Well, the mass shooting number is 1 in 11,000.
Right.
Whatever the case is, the number is higher than it is for this myocarditis thing.
Yes, exactly.
So that's the point that we're making, or you're making.
Yeah.
Is that that's not a low number.
No, not a low number at all. And people are just, I mean, people are getting into real sick situations.
And by the way, I got a good one here.
Yeah.
What's your death? Bicycling. 1 in what? I don't want to get off the track, but these are interesting. What bicycling? What's your chance of getting die in a bicycle by bicycling?
I think it's pretty high chance you die in a bicycle. I would say 1 in 2,000.
4,000. Good guess.
Yeah. Well, I come from a biking
country. Okay, I got one. Right. What about choking on food?
Choking on food, man. You know, I think between that and the bathroom, probably 1 in 80.
No, God, everyone would be dead. 1 in 3,500, which is still high.
Still, it is. Yeah. What else you got? This is a good game.
Oh, here's one.
Yeah.
Airplane, boat, and spaceship incidents, which cause death.
And wait a minute. Wait, airship, is this a combo deal or is it separate?
These are all put together. Wait. Airplane. You have to put boat accident, airplane accident, and spaceship.
Probably 1 in 100,000.
1 in 2,400.
Oh wow! Okay.
Dog attack. What's the chance of dying from a dog attack?
Dying from a dog attack.
These are all deaths.
1 in 10,000.
1 in 112,000.
Oh, so next time someone says, hey, man, your dog is a piece of shit barking at me, I said, oh, yeah, well, you're more likely to die from the koof shot, bruh. Or from lightning. Riding your bike.
Lightning.
Lightning is, that's got to be 1 in 1,000,000.
No, 1 in 161,000.
Okay. All right. I'm failing this test. Let's go on to a final
okay, we're done.
I'm done with these. By the way, one of our producers sent us a vaccine exemption letter for those non-citizens, non-residents who want to come into the United States. She found in the language, because you know the United States requires anyone who is not a citizen or an alien resident to show proof of vaccination. But she found that there is a little way out. If you have a doctor sign a medical exemption letter, and then you also have to sign an attestation, and she has a link to that it's all in the show notes, and I even have it's redacted, but the mock-up of the letter. And if you can get a doctor to sign that and the attestation note, no problem. You're welcome. Come on in, which is good news. Let's talk about some more efficacy.
Oh, wait, before you we can't leave COVID without this big announcement.
I'm not leaving COVID. I have two more clips from McCullough, from the King. I left the best until last.
That's going to be the best for last. You better play this clip first. Just so we all know, the Novavax has been approved.
The FDA gave emergency authorization to the Novavax vaccine for COVID-19. If the CDC also agrees, the two-dose series will be available to anyone over the age of 18. This is the fourth vaccine that the FDA has approved for adults in the U.S.
So let me just take a look at the stock chart. Novavax is probably the most scammiest.
Novavax.
Yeah, NVAX. Isn't that their ticker symbol? It's one of the most scammiest pieces of crap on the day traders look at. Let me see what they did in 1 week. Yeah, so people knew this around July 1st, I guess.
Yeah, they probably did know it. And it's like, oh, it's a little too late.
But that's
late to the game.
That's the only thing it was about. Who gives a crap about the vaccine? Although I hear a lot of people want to take it because it's not an mRNA.
Yeah. Why would anyone want to take any of these things?
People are so desperate. The amount of people who email me and say, well, I think I'm considering the Novavax because I got to eat. So it's so heartbreaking.
Well, yeah, when people are being forced illegally by their employers to get vaccinated.
It's heartbreaking.
What are they going to do?
So here's McCullough, and he's on some show with a couple of other doctors. I don't think it's a TV show. It looks like a stream show. And he's also there with the, what's the Simone Gold, the frontline doctor's girl who was kind of the PR.
Yes, you do.
When they're on the Capitol, it's important that you remember who this is. She's pretty cute looking, and she was the spokeshole for the frontline doctors when they, early on they were saying, that, you know, this is not good. You shouldn't be taking this. And then she set up this whole organization. When you hear her voice, you'll recognize it. But okay. But with this backdrop, she's moved to Los Angeles. I think she's living with her. I think he's an actor boyfriend or something. This is all secondhand, but I've heard it, at least someone who's witnessed it firsthand. And she's kind of gone Hollywood and they set up a big production company. This show may even be hers for all I know. And you'll hear her coming in, getting all jacked and jitty about this news that the king, McCullough, has to report about a Swedish study.
Tell us a little bit about the study that just came out of Sweden that is just so alarming.
News is buzzing out of Lund University, Malmo, Sweden.
And I have a feeling they're paying McCullough to be on this show because now all of a sudden he's using TV script-like words like, the news is buzzing. You know what I mean? Isn't that kind of out of character for him?
Yeah, now that you mention it, I may have not caught it right away, but yeah, I think you're right.
So maybe it's...
The news is buzzing.
The news is buzzing. It's kind of like, I'm going to do, hey, and here's Dr. Peter McCullough. He's going to do the gossip segment. It's like TMZ. Well, the news is buzzing, everybody. We're dying from this shit.
Tell us a little bit about the study that just came out of Sweden that is just so alarming.
The news is buzzing out of Lund University, Malmo, Sweden. Marcus Alden is the first author. The first demonstration in a human hepatic or liver cell line that the Pfizer vaccine, in fact, reverse transcribes and installs DNA into the human genome.
Wow. And so in simple terms, what does that mean, Dr. Bartlett?
Thank you for making it simple. So basically, there's an enzyme that can take that messenger RNA vaccine information and put it into the DNA of the person. Into their DNA. Mm. And we were told that could not happen. So this is in a lab, but it's showing that you remember the vaccine is messenger RNA.
Yeah.
And we were told that messenger RNA could not go into your DNA, but this is showing that in a lab it can.
And so what happens when it does, Dr. Gold?
Well, can I answer slightly different than your question?
Yeah.
So one of the fun things about the last couple of years being a doctor and lawyer is this is a very interesting opportunity. And I think we're going to be bringing another lawsuit because there's actually federal law that you cannot discriminate against people for genetic discriminations. I forgot the acronym. I think it's GINA, G-I-N-A. GINA, right? So this now opens the door to saying that if you're not allowing somebody in who chose not to get the shot, that you're actually engaging in genetic discrimination. So I think there's this Sweden study, I think, opens the door to a new type of lawsuit.
So she's all jacked and jitty, and I mean, it's like, well, you know, this is really great because because if it actually changes DNA, you know, we have laws, you can't, you can't discriminate based upon someone's DNA. So then, we wouldn't have to have a passport, blah, blah, blah. Where really the whole point is, they said specifically, it does not change your DNA. Messenger RNA doesn't change your DNA. Now. Here's what, now this is only in the lab. We don't know if this happened in people, which is also kind of, it's a little beneath McCullough, I would say, to be on a show. Because that's what the jamokes over at CDC do. Oh, this in the lab, this variant kills everything and everybody. But if indeed these patented DNA strains are being accepted and folded into our DNA, the farmer Percy Schmeiser lawsuit kind of comes into view, and a refresher on that. This was the lawsuit where Monsanto was found in the right that if a part of a genetic Monsanto owned seed somehow binds or even grows on your land, they own it. They own it. Any derivative of that seed, they own. So, of course, the Q list would say, right. So if your DNA actually changed with a Pfizer or Moderna DNA sequence, then in theory, they do have some ownership over you.
They already own the media.
Wow. Yeah, you're just waiting for me to finish my waffling before you had the punchline. I'm impressed. Very good. And then one other thing from McCullough. This is one that we've talked about a lot, about the flu vaccination. A lot of people believe in them. It's always a crapshoot. They have to choose. Is it going to be strain A, strain B? Is it going to be something else? And McCullough has some information about the flu vaccine for this season.
The vaccine efficacy for this year's influenza vaccine, which I took last year.
Yeah.
16%, Paul.
Yeah.
Now, standard conventional acceptance criteria, something that would be acceptable that you would actually, you know, consider, would be at least 50% vaccine efficacy and should last at least a year.
Yeah.
So these are nowhere close to being acceptable products in modern medicine. And those are just two that people would consider uncontroversial. But you know what? Doctors' lives and our knowledge and our analyses of things change as the science changes. And based on those contemporary results, I'm dropping them. They're no longer supportable to me.
Yeah.
Good in for my you. Practice or for myself.
So to finish this up, I have one final clip, and I do have a I want our producers to go find some stuff. New category called It's Not the Vaccine. I would say based upon an image that that you and I both saw. I think you might have put it or something like it in the newsletter. This is for the heart attacks that are happening everywhere. This is a very big problem. And we have to blame it on something. We cannot blame it on any type of vaccine, the vaccination, etc. So here's a story, New Scientist. Wait, let's start with the ones we know about. Urgent warning to gardeners as soil increases risk of killer heart disease. Blood clots, the nation's favorite drink, could make your blood sticky, increasing risk of blood clots. That drink is coffee. And solar storms may cause up to 5,500 heart-related deaths in a given year. So there's a lot of bull crap, and I'd love to get some clips or any stories. We just need to be collecting these so we can know what people are dying of. These horrible,
we've been playing
horrible
him on and off for quite a while.
But not as a theme, though. No, and I don't think we have any specifically about heart attacks being blamed on something else.
I think so.
Well, I'll dive.
I think we do. I think it's more than a few.
I'll delve into the archive. This last clip is from Canada. And I have my doubts about the authenticity of this particular person they're talking about, but ultimately it does fit in line with what the Georgia Guidestones have commanded us.
A 53-year-old Toronto woman says she is in the process of applying for a medically assisted death in Canada, known as MAID. Tracy Thompson says living with long COVID is causing crushing fatigue.
It's a radical shift from, you know, being able-bodied and employed to basically bedbound, on average, 20-plus hours spent a day lying down.
Thompson says she had COVID-19 over 2 years ago and can't work. Her condition leaving her with brain inflammation, swelling and scarring of the heart, and serious food allergies. Going on the Ontario Disability Program, she says, would give her $1,169 a month. But even with that, Thompson doesn't know how she would afford to live. Thompson says she asked her doctor about MAID. In March of 2021, Canadian legislation changed, moving the eligibility to qualify beyond someone facing a natural death that was reasonably foreseeable, to allowing a person with an intolerable and irreversible illness or disease or disability to qualify.
I'm also still very happy to be alive. You know, like I still enjoy life. So it is exclusively a financial consideration. My choices are basically die slowly and painfully or quickly.
There you go. That's the future. That's really what the elites would like. You can't afford your life anymore. Kill yourself.
Yeah.
Time
sounds
to go.
Like a winner.
Time to go. They had this woman like disguised with a big wig on and sunglasses. If you're going to kill yourself for this, and it's purely financial, as she said, do you think that you would disguise yourself? Wouldn't you be like, here I am, I'm doing this? Felt a little strange to me.
Doesn't make sense to me.
Felt a little bit kind of set up-y.
And so do we Go on.
Well, I was going to say, while I was researching all this, I did find out one other thing of interest, of note. You know, there's always been a suggested correlation between vaccination and autism, certainly in young boys. And the autism numbers since 2017 have gone up 52%. So I immediately think, oh, of course, now we got COVID jabs and that's making it worse. But there was one other thing that came out in end of 2019. No wonder we didn't see it. And it's from the NIH. And I put these links in the show notes. When young kids or even, I don't know, babies, but when they get vaccinated, typically to combat any discomfort, the doctor will say, well, give them some Tylenol. And I don't know how young they do this with the Tylenol, but this study suggests that exposure to acetaminophen, which is Tylenol, seems to create a higher risk of ADHD and autism. And it's like, well, that would make a lot of sense, because we've never been able to really prove the connection between vaccinations and autism. But what if it's the Tylenol?
They love giving Tylenol at the hospitals. Not aspirin.
Tylenol.
Not anything else, but yeah. Tylenol.
And if you read the literature on Tylenol, everywhere it's like, hey, you know, don't take too much. This is not good for
your liver.
Yeah, it's not good for you. I thought ibuprofen was also bad. Is that also bad? Ibuprofen for different reasons?
I don't know that.
You know all these things. You're my go-to medical guy. What do you mean?
I'm a podcaster, not a doctor.
Jim. Yeah. So that's the state. That's the state of the world. We've cut through that crap for you. Let's do something.
Well, then
fun.
We can cut to a funny clip.
Okay, thank you.
And this is the woman that was fired. Now, she was fired for supposedly, she says, no, I was just tired. But she was fired for being drunk on the air on a CBS affiliate. And I should mention, I thought I'd run this clip of her talking that got her fired.
Can I just ask a question?
We can decide for ourselves, drunk or not drunk.
I was going to say, because I saw a clip of this play and I couldn't understand what she was saying. She looked hammered to me, but everyone's like, oh, I can't believe she said that. And I couldn't hear it. So hopefully it's in this clip.
More than 50 million people across the country's southeast are under warnings for excessive heat. And boy, don't you know that? 105 degrees in Texas today. I just spoke with my mother. That's what she's dealing with. It's a major heat wave. And it's just hitting everywhere. We're so lucky. It's only 80 degrees here. We are really lucky here in the capital region. I mean, let me tell you about that. These areas are reaching such areas. I mean, it's Houston, Austin, San Antonio. I mean, they're not expected. It has happened. Like, you don't need us telling you that it's bad. It's like people are being told to like stay inside, drink a lot of water. And we are just lucky. This weekend right here is so amazing. Meteorologist Craig Adams is right here. I'm sorry, Craig Adams. Why did I say that?
Now, what did she say there? Something like Craig Adams and what? I don't understand what she said. Why did I say that? What is she saying?
She threw it to Craig Adams, but she didn't pronounce his name right or something. And
oh, okay.
It's so amazing. Meteorologist Craig Adams is right here. I'm sorry, Craig Adams. Why did I say that?
She called him a meteorologist. Yeah, okay. What?
What did she do?
She said meteorologist Craig Adams. I think he's just the. I think it was the.
Just a dude. A dude.
The guy.
Weekend right here is so amazing. Meteorologist Craig Adams is right here. Sorry, Craig Adams. Why did I say that? Of course, clearly, like we're taking a live look over downtown Albany. And of course, just like me, meteorologist Craig Gold is working a double shift. And so he's in. And we've been tracking this. And, you know, we've been talking about just like what it's been like across the country and the different reasons that why it's so hot in other areas. And we're having really nice weather here. So let's get over to Craig Gold. Hey, yep. Craig.
All right, good evening, Heather. And yeah, the weather has been quite nice here across the Northeast.
Drunk or not drunk. Okay, drunk or not drunk. I'm going to say not drunk because I think I can recognize what's going on here. How about you?
I think she's drunk.
No, I think she is. She said she was tired, and I have heard this particular type of thing with my ex-interim wife. This is Adderall. This is Adderall with someone who's tired and has overdone it on Adderall. They get a little bit of a thlith. That's what I'm hearing.
And they get, okay, it's a possibility.
Because she said, we all worked a double shift. I'm tired. She
did say that.
Yeah. So I think it was Adderall, not
some people who take Adderall, they just don't take it. They take it like
candy.
Like they take aspirin. So I think I need some
candy. Like candy.
Yeah, candy.
In schools, John, this is, it's currency. It's currency. And what's happening, what's sad, is that kids are kind of getting used to it, you know, but Xanax, Adderall, and they're buying it from each other. And of course, people come in and they buy something and it's maybe not that, or it's got some fentanyl. Fentanyl is kind of, it should, here's what I don't understand. Fentanyl, it should deter people from wanting to, I don't know about doing drugs, but certainly staying away from not a trusted source. I mean, it's you can die from it. You don't really hear anything in the, well, you know, just people are like they're mainlining fentanyl all day long. But there's a lot of this happening. But the story you do get is if this happens.
A woman in Tennessee says picking up a $1 bill on the floor of a McDonald's sent her to the hospital. She claims she went numb and had trouble breathing, leading to speculation that the bill may have been laced with fentanyl. Many experts are skeptical, although police in the area reported two previous incidents involving folded bills laced with fentanyl and meth.
Now, I don't know if this is the war on cash or, or what it is.
First of all, that the way that story is presented is that they doubt her story, but it's happened before, twice.
Yes, I hadn't heard any stories of this before.
But if it's happened in the same area, I guess, this is something going on. It's something, a story you would never doubt if it happens and happens and happens three times. But okay, I just thought the reporting was dubious.
One of our producers...
I'm thinking about your theory here about that poor woman, the hostess.
The reason why is I continue to look at SSRIs and other antidepressants and how they're prescribed. And it seems like everybody I know is on them one way or the other, most people. And we got a fantastic note from a producer, Anonymous, who says, I worked at a Southern California inpatient psychiatric hospital, worked there since 2006, where we deal with depressed, suicidal, homicidal, or schizophrenic patients. We have beds for children to adults in the state of California. We mainly deal with 5150s. 5150 is a legal 72-hour hold placed on a person by a police officer, doctor, or nurse. The person must meet at least one of three criteria to be placed on a 5150. Danger to themselves, danger to others, or gravely disabled. Can't provide food or clothing or shelter. So the producer goes, and I put it all in the show notes, the producer goes into what they give the patients when they're on a hold. So you come in, police or someone has determined that you are a danger. So they're prescribed antipsychotics like Zyprexa, Risperdal, or Haldol, which I was like, Haldol? I thought that was outlawed. I mean, I was given Haldol by Bon Jovi's doctor when we came back from the Moscow Music Peace Festival, and I was psychotic for 2 weeks. Anyway, antidepressants such as Wellbutrin, Prozac, Zoloft, or Lexapro, which they must take while inpatient in order to be able to allow the leave the hospital quickly. So, you know, if they don't, then they get locked down for longer. So, on your SSRI theory, I can tell you from years of experience that the majority of our patients are Democrats in ideology or LGBT in one way or another. I'd estimate at any given time, our patient population of about 150 patients is 85% Democrat, 15% Republican or other. The one thing all our patients seem to have in common is they tend to be either very self-centered or have low self-confidence or self-esteem. So this kind of folds into my original thinking that, hey, are they putting kids on these drugs so that they vote Democrat?
Yeah.
I mean, that's possible. I think that's
absolutely this is a thesis we both have.
You know, we had
the school system is there to make people Democrats. They don't teach you anything anymore. The kids don't know anything.
So Tina had her her birthday weekend, and we had a little a little get together. Went to one of the wineries, and her friends came up from Austin, from other places. And one of my favorite visitors is the liberal high school teacher, and we love the liberal high school teacher because
yes, it's a character in our show.
And she's a real person. She even texts me and says, "Hi, this is your favorite liberal high school teacher." And as always, we're talking about, and I always want to hear how things are going. She's a high school teacher. And in the city of Austin. And she's telling me, I start with SSRI. I said, do you think these kids are on a lot of them? She said, oh my gosh. She says they all have to take their meds. And exactly what, because I asked her about, teachers amongst each other saying, hey, did you check that kid? We need to check his meds, see if he's up to speed. And, otherwise we need to get him on meds. She says, that is absolutely true. But she said the thing that she's so tired of, and she kind of said it in a way like, if I hear one more kid use anxiety, specifically anxiety, as an excuse, she says she's going to scream, because that's everything. She says, these kids are so anxious. I couldn't finish my homework because I have anxiety. Would you believe that 17-year-old kids in the city of Austin come to school with security blankets and teddy bears? And I'm not just talking one, like half a class, John.
Oh, my God. What a thing to witness.
There's an entire Reddit thread. Do any other high school teachers have students bringing stuffed animals to class with them? And there are many teachers. Oh, I have about 50 of them I brought to class, so they can choose one. And sometimes they even say, oh, teacher, can I borrow this one? Because I have a test in another class. I mean, what is going on? They're all shy, introverted, medicated, and they bring blankets and teddy bears to school, pacifiers.
Let's get the language straight. Blankie.
Blankie.
Blankies. Blankies.
Blankies.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
That's the best bit on the show we've had for a long time.
It's baffling.
Because you can get the visuals are there with a bunch of kids sucking their thumbs.
Yes.
With a blankie and a teddy bear in one arm and a blankie in the other, and they're sucking their thumb and worrying about being, their anxiety is making them not be able to take a test.
And every single kid I've heard, that's the word. It's anxiety. Oh, you have anxiety? Oh, Lexapro. You have anxiety? Oh, we'll put you on this, put you on that. This is the thing. This is what we have to. And again, it's a big pharma thing that fuels the media. So there's not going to be any publication of any of the multitude of studies.
No, there's too much money to be made.
There's also the eco anxiety, climate change. Imagine if you got kids who are 17 years old, John. I mean, when I was 17, if I brought a blankie or a teddy bear to school, I would get kicked in the face and thrown in the mud.
Oh, no, you're getting beaten up by a huge crowd of people. Most of them weren't even bullies.
Yeah, they were just outraged. This. So when you have these kids in high school, then they, of course, go to college, and the college has to accommodate them. But then once you get into the workplace, that's where you're going to have a real problem.
So my daughter is a office manager. And so in a one of these large buildings where you rent offices, one of the big boys.
Mm-hmm.
And so she took off for a week and a half to go to visit me.
To Burning Man.
Burning Man. So she comes back. And as the office manager, she said nobody did anything when she was gone. They had assignments. She told people to do this and that and the other thing. Nobody did anything at all. And they're all contrite. Oh, yeah, I didn't get around to it. Week and a half, I couldn't do this. A week and a half, I couldn't do that. And the main thing was it's just hilarious to listen to her stories about these employees who are usually younger than her, and they're all part of this whole millennial minute that we do. we do. It's really funny, but she doesn't appreciate it.
No, of course not. Let me read a few from these from this Reddit. It's only like 2 or 3 months old. I have a bunch of stuffed animals in my room as desk pets. I teach sophomores and they love it. They like to give them names and view it as a comfort on stressful days. Students will have one during tests or days they are down. I have little, this is another one. I have little stuffed animals for imagery reasons. Whenever I have a sad student I can't console, I slip them a plushie. They usually end up hugging them. I mean, I had Gary the emotional support sloth in my room. Oh my God, this is.
I've heard of Gary.
The emotional support sloth. He came home with me during COVID and has stayed home for continued COVID reasons. But just last week, an 11th grader came in asking for Gary because she was having a really awful day. I felt so bad telling her that he wasn't in school. I also posted a few pictures of him on Classroom during the first closures of 2020 because we had no live classes and the kids felt so disconnected. Gary was doing Gary was doing all sorts of COVID-esque stuff like reading, using Clorox wipes, wearing a mask, whatever, because my 9th graders were straight up asking about him like he was alive. They missed him. Ha 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 ha. 2020 was rough. These are teachers.
Yeah.
Oh, this is
Democrat electorate.
Last one. 7th and 8th grade teacher here. I see it all over school. Only one student has had to be confronted over it. Even she wasn't being confronted for the stuffed animal, but rather some other emotional stuff. Despite what the governor here says and the ex-president said, must be in Florida, there really was a pretty massive sociological upheaval going on for the past years, and the kids' psychology has been strongly affected. So, yeah, so you can slip them a plushie. You can bring Gary, the support sloth, to school. Or like my dentist who called me this morning to discuss, you know, my plan. He just took his steps on 2 weeks on a hiking trip with the Boy Scouts. You know, half the kids got hypothermia. They were cold and wet and miserable, but they turned from boys into men. That's the kind of stuff we need. I'm appalled by this. I'm appalled by. Oh, what was okay? Just to finish up the teacher. So it came down to Roe v. Wade. Of course, this is nothing like the day after a party because she stayed over. You know, in the morning, let's get into it about Roe v. Wade. This is going to be fun. And she starts it all the time. And you know, and I go through my typical thing. It's like, you know that this is not. This, it wasn't really a women's right. And she says, yeah, no, I do know that. I'm sure she was looking it up on her phone as I was saying it. But then this was the kicker, and it really gave her a shock. You know, I said, look, if it goes back to the states, if you really want to do something, then, you know, what they keep talking about is Congress has to codify it. And she says, well, you know, that'll never happen. I said, no, unlikely. And she says, because, you know, they have the power. I said, who has the power? Well, the conservatives have the power. I said, what? I said, you do realize that there's a Democrat in the White House, there's a majority of Democrats in House of Representatives, and there's a tie 50-50 in the Senate, which the vice president then, of course, will break. And she said, well, why would the vice president do that? I said, because the vice president's a Democrat. And then it dawned on her that in her mind, Pence was still vice president. Kamala Harris didn't even come up in her. She truly believed that the Senate was in hand of Republicans because the vice president is a Republican vice president. And I saw it hit her like a ton of bricks.
Yikes.
I mean, there's some psychological crap going on.
There's some psyops going on, and it's not good.
And with that, I'd like to thank you for your courage. Say in the morning to you, the man who put the C's, not the B's. It should have been the B's in the Bolton box. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. John C. DeBoran.
Well, in the morning to you, Mr. Adam Curry, Morris, Ship C. Bolton, the Grand Junior. I have some way to dames and nice out there.
And in the morning to the trolls in our troll room, if you're using one of those cool new podcasting 2.0 apps, then you already got your alert. You knew that we were going live. Check out all the apps at newpodcastapps.com. But you can always use, Podverse or CurioCaster. They work. You get the chat room, the troll room, and the live stream all in the app. It's where you get your podcasts anyway. Let's count these trolls. Hello, trolls. Let me see how many we got here. Typical Thursday, 1867. These trolls are listening to the No Agenda stream. You can get both at trollroom.io. You hear the stream. It's 24/7. Many live shows. It's the best podcast network in the universe. Why? Because there's no financial goal behind it. It's just for producers by producers. And everyone loves hanging out. Same with the troll room. It's just a troll room. You go there, you troll. You know, it's a level more, it's more sophisticated than shit posters. Okay. Trolls are much better than that. Now the shit posters, they show up over on noagendasocial.com, but the groovy thing about it is you can block anybody you want. You can say, I don't want to have anything from the shit posters club. It'll never show up on your radar. We can just let it go and enjoy everyone else's opinion. Follow John C. Dvorak at noagendasocial.com, Adam at noagendasocial.com from any Mastodon server. You'll be able to follow us, and it's well worth it. And, you know, right after Twitter went down, I went over to noagendasocial.com and said, hey, how y'all doing? A nice little lively conversation for the morning. Let us thank the artist for episode 1467, 1467 episodes of the best podcast in the universe. We were talking about earlier. We titled that one, The Ninja Variant. And the artwork was, we really, there were a couple of things we looked at. This is the one from Dame Kenny Ben. It's the Elon twins and triplets with the little Tesla logo emblazoned on their chest. What was it about this we liked so much other than it was?
Well, this was your big favorite.
It was the one that made us laugh, I think, is what our criteria was.
Well, there. You just liked it a lot. And the selling point was the little Tesla.
Oh, yeah. It wouldn't have been any good without that. Yeah.
And it also had a slightly win by default aspect to it because it was the only thing that was that really hit all the boxes.
Yeah.
I liked the no tractors except for Bug Harvesting by Sir Net Ned, and you rejected it out of hand.
Yeah, I did.
You were focused on this.
Well, the one I kind of liked first, but then we looked at it was Tonta Neal's Dead Cow.
The dead. You liked that. You also liked that.
The only good cow is a dead cow.
But the thing was with that one, I looked at it. I didn't like it at all.
We didn't like the technical execution, I think, is fair to say.
No, it did not work.
Shut Up or We Flood You. You kind of liked that. I didn't like that one as much.
No, I didn't like that.
Oh, I thought you did. I thought you did.
No, I didn't like the composition at all. The only one I kind of liked was the tractor one.
No, we also discussed the double-barreled shotgun as something we weren't going to do.
It was from the Dirty Jersey Whore.
Yes. Yeah.
Different. And I actually kind of liked the layout and the design, and it could have won for a triple. Was Paul Couture's King of Podcasts with Biden scratching his head. Very nice, kind of a 60s style poster piece. It didn't have anything going on. It was just like, okay, well, good use of illegible fonts and the sort of thing you do in the 60s, but and the right colors, okay.
Well. Even though Comic Strip Blogger's art was completely unusable, I always appreciate the old picture of Elon with the old Elon hair.
Yeah.
Dude, that's not good. That is not good. Oh, by the way, did you hear Elon's a white hat?
I'm sorry, what?
He's a white hat.
Yeah, sure.
Well, you are a white hat. But here's the reason. Yeah, of course you are. Here's the reasoning. So Trump posted the same picture of him and Elon three times in a row. Saying, and you know, if you read these three posts, which are, I'm sorry, they're not posts, they're truths on Truth Social. And one says, hey, you know, Elon, he begged me, came over here. If I had said, get on your knees, you would have done it. And another one's like, he got a shitty contract with SpaceX. And And then he's like, oh, how did he get away with the stock fraud? And Jack Dorsey's in on it. So this is being interpreted by Q. And it's serious. It's the same people coming out of the woodworks now saying, no, no, no. This is what he does. He likes to distract by burning people in public so they don't know that they're working together. And so Elon is really doing, he's really ruining Twitter, you know, to get help get rid of the deep state. And I'm like, I would love to go along with this, but you're delusional now. You are, delusional.
I mean, that is getting rid of the deep state in itself is delusional.
Yeah. You know, and don't worry, because the Patriots are working hard. It's like an X-22 type story, you know. And in fact, I expect Dave on X-22 to say exactly this. You know, this is what he does. He remember.
You know, it's funny you mentioned. I haven't heard an X-22 since the last time, since I used a clip from that show. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, people have to be careful because they listen to it, and Bettina listens to it often as well, and we discuss it.
Really, I never listen to it.
Oh, I listen to it. It's, you know, I can usually the first half hour.
You know something I watched today on TV, which I keep passing it by, and every time I go through it on the channels, because I got like 100 channels over the air, and these are all over the air shows.
Yeah.
Nick Cannon.
Oh, yeah.
I keep going by, I say, who the hell's Nick Cannon? And I just keep going. Who the hell's Nick Cannon? So I watched some of Nick Cannon today. Mm-hmm. He's like a daytime talk show host. Who just might as well be a publicist for whoever's on.
Correct. Yeah.
It's really probably one of the most uninspired things I've seen on television ever.
It's a business model, you know.
It's a business model. Here.
Unlike
say this guy's great. Here, read from this.
I'm very delighted to say, you know, we certainly coined the value for value model. I think what we're doing here with the feedback loop, with the donation segments, with the newsletters, with the not asking for tips and trinkets, but saying, hey, here's our value. If you find it valuable, send it back. Let us know why it was valuable. That could be 50 cents, $5, or whatever, fill in the blank. If that's a lot of value to you, then success. These are totally disposable products. You know, how are you going to value some information? That's only that's in the hands of the beholder. But I'm seeing a lot of comedians doing versions of value for value now. Jim Brewer, who else did I see? Some other guy. He actually bought his special back from, I think, Netflix. Netflix was like, well, you know we're gonna have to take a couple jokes out here. They're a little bit too offensive. Now these guys are typically doing Patreon or something like that, which I think is selling themselves short. But
yeah, it's a bad way to go. I mean, they could just study what we do, which is it's pretty obvious because we talk about it and we explain it as best we can. And if you just did, in fact, or they can, you know, just rely on somebody else's approach whose idea is to make, and their idea of making money is to just skim from everybody else who may or may not have the ability to bring in a lot of cash.
But
they don't help you. I don't know they do any marketing for you. In fact, I think your show gets ditched on there. It's like, well, where'd it go?
Oh, yeah.
Like, and there's some of their lame, by the way, lame ideas. Let's go over a couple of those that come out of Patreon. Let's have special episodes for people who are subscribers who give us some money. We give them a special episode. Ooh, yeah, you get to unlock the special episode. I'm going to tell people who are thinking of podcasting.
Hold on. Is this different from the freemium model where you get, you know, you get an hour, and then if you pay, then you get the full hour and a half?
Yeah, maybe it's similar.
Yeah,
but this is a little more. This is more. I would say, what's the word when you compartmentalize? It's more compartmentalized.
Ooh, more
like that.
Mm-hmm.
The problem I'm going to tell people if they ever think of wanting to do something like that, I'm going to get a special episode. The problem is that the material is long arc on our podcast and on most podcasts. That's why long arc, for example, would be a call back to the high school liberal teacher.
Yeah. Yes,
because you've heard she'll come up again in a few episodes, and if she shows up again at Adam's house, well, which may or may not happen,
since it was the first time she visited, the dog did not bite her. We think she's coming back. Remember, Phoebe has bitten one person twice. No one else. Yes. Like drew blood the first time.
He did?
She did, yeah. Well, Phoebe was new and she was sleeping and the school teacher came up behind.
A dog that bites liberals.
I know. Only liberals.
Only liberals. Wow.
Come here, Whitey.
Whitey, which was my recommendation for the dog's
You were
name.
Right all along. I should have done that.
Whitey. So when you start doing these separate little one-offs of one episode or another, it means that when you reference it in a normal show, it's lost on everybody.
Yeah.
And so you have to go over the material again, which means it's not free. It's not anything special anymore because you had to go over it all over again. So that's a joke.
And that's an important
thing. Or the other thing is, it's like something you don't want to do again. And so you're keeping people from getting all the information you have to give them. That's why the wide open model, which is the value for value, where you just assume you get what you want and you can take what you want.
And there's one.
It's far superior. You get better results.
And there's another aspect to it.
And you're not trying to trick anybody. No. But anyway, go on.
Then the other aspect is we've always said, look, do whatever you want. Copy it. Send it early in the day. Put it on CD. Use our logo, make art. You know, we have no contracts, no agreements, you can do whatever you want. Create a meetup site. Great. Create the noagendaartgenerator.com, which we we didn't sit down and have a meeting with our staff. Say, you know, it'd be great if we could only employ a lot of artists
run it through legal.
to compete for the album art. How much do you think it would cost to get all those artists to do that? It doesn't sound like such a good idea anymore. These types of things, it's completely the way to go. And everyone who is listening, it's almost 15 years, almost 1,500 episodes, value for value, has kept it going. It really has kept it going. And we're so proud of...
And the rug could be pulled out from under at any moment.
But at the moment, not the case. At the moment, and I think our first three donations this morning accentuate how that value for value works, how people think about it. So the first one comes from Charles and Vicky Peel. They are Knight and Dame of the Rim Country, which is Payson, Arizona.
Well, actually, no, they moved to Payson.
Oh, so what was the Rim Country before?
It was up north somewhere. It's in one of the states, like Nebraska.
Oh, really? I wonder why they moved.
Iowa, Nebraska. Right here it says they moved from Nebraska and Iowa.
Well, let me read their note. So this is, are you ready for it? $4,000.
Yeah.
Jingle nice. Requests, Rev Al Medley, Because Words Do Matter, and Yak Karma. We are taking this opportunity to celebrate our wedding anniversary, Vicky's double 33rd birthday, and our permanent escape to the mountains and forest of northern Arizona by donating enough to become Baron and Baroness of Arizona. With this donation, when this donation is read on the show, we'll be somewhere in Nebraska on our way from Iowa to our new house in Payson, Arizona. We look forward to being informed and entertained by yet another fantastic edition of the best podcast in the universe on our drive. Thank you for all that you do. And so this is commemorating their wedding anniversary, Vicky's double 33rd birthday, which I guess means she's 66. And they get a lot of value out of the show. And maybe it's just this, but we're happy to play the jingles for you.
Thanks. Good evening, Rev. You, Ed, is this Crown Hog Day 2? We are watching that was Attorney General Eric Holder, ABDs, about some Republicans at home are already beating the drums of war. Today, the Pentagon refuted that claim. And he said the American people do not want him to, quote, dwindling. They do not want him dwindling his thumbs.
Because words do matter.
You've got karma.
All right. Thanks, guys.
I wonder how they're going to deal. They're in Iowa, which has four seasons, and it's a very pretty state considering it's so agricultural, but it's got a lot of hills. How are they going to like, the two of them are going to like Payson, Arizona, which is going to be hot.
Hot, very hot. Very hot.
Sir Scovey of the Piedmont in Charlotte, North Carolina, came with $3,333.33.
Ivana Trump just died.
Ivana?
Yeah. Remember Trump's ex-wife?
The older.
73. Cardiac arrest. Oh, man, must have been that.
I wonder what crazy thing she did that gave her a cardiac arrest.
It's the coffee.
At her age.
It's the coffee. Maybe it was coffee. the solar storm.
Solar storm. Okay.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Sorry for the family. That sucks. She seemed like a nice lady.
She was definitely the pacemaker of the family. She's the one who made the Plaza Hotel the beauty that it is today.
Sure did. All right. Sorry for interrupting. Let's start over.
Yeah. Sir Scovey of the Piedmont in Charlotte, North Carolina, $3,333.33. Yeah, that's a big one. Biden whole load, goat karma for all in the morning. It's funny. You wait maybe a year or two and you donate that much money. You think you're going to be at the top of the list.
Then you're not. But what a beautiful, that's the longest row of threes I think the show has ever seen.
That's the 333.
Love it.
Biden whole load, goat karma in the morning. All the donation marks the occasion of President Biden's approval rating at 33.
Yeah.
It also brings me to Viscount.
Nice. Good for you.
I think on the upgrade list. John and Adam, two of you in the No Agenda community, continue to be important, have an important part of my life. Thank you both and all the producers out there. John, I welcome your wine recommendations to pair with my Yak Burger and Brussels sprouts. Ooh, at the round table.
Yak Burger and Brussels sprouts.
Well, Yak, and he signs off, Sir Scovey, Yak Burger requires probably a mid-range Bordeaux. I'd say Lynchbage.
Lynch. How do you spell that? Lynch.
B-A-G-E-S.
Bage. Lynchbage. Okay. Bordeaux. I want to make sure I order the right stuff.
It's a Pauillac.
Yeah, whatever. I'm not adding that. The sommelier knows what to do. All right, here's your jingles, man.
I'm going to give you the whole load today.
Wait a minute. Goat karma? Yeah, there you go.
You've got karma.
Onward to Anonymous. 21-15-69. Man, high today. Anonymous, Arvada, Colorado. And here you go. Here's an example of some value. This is some of the back pay you've earned, making me more aware and successful in my career. From GDRP to CISA to supply chain issues, I've known things no one else did in my industry. This has led to valuable respect, relationships, and being first to the party more times than I can count. This also makes me an Instabaron plus a penny for your penny jar. Oh, hold on a second. Do you have a penny? I thought I had.
Yeah, here.
It looks more like a quarter to me, but okay.
I'll use that. It's what it's worth.
I'd like to be known as Baron Vladimir Harkonnen, enslaver of the spice planet Dune. I don't think that's taken. If ever there should be a properly titled duke to come and claim this territory, I will cede it accordingly. Hint, hint. Interesting. With my VIP status, I'll skip over the knighting of the plebs, but please put some spice melange and water at the table for them, okay? Send health karma to Linda, who is recovering from a head-on car crash in Bend, Oregon, and a douchebag call-out for Dwight.
Douchebag!
If you could please hit the stereo goat karma twice to cover our four goats back on Earth. Yeah, I guess we can do that. Where's my luge? My luge. I had a luge. There it is. Okay, we'll do that twice in a row. It's Jerry, Tim, Mabel, and Jeff. Okay. Did I get everything here? Yes, health karma and luges. Here we go.
You've got karma. You've got karma.
By request, two in a row.
Amy Ekman, our friend from Healdsburg, Dame Damie, $1,000. Dame Damie, $1,003. No jingles, no karma. Thank you. ITM, John and Adam, here to defend my husband's good name. Last Sunday, episode 1467, featured a donation from a disgruntled black knight that happens to share the same knight name with my husband, quote, Sir Crush-a-Lot. My hubby grew increasingly concerned that he would be mistaken for this irked individual.
Oh.
I have been meaning to donate since John recommended Verite. So she works at the Verite Winery up in Healdsburg. And by the way, I had a bottle of that recently. And that is probably when you, it's one of the bottles that exudes the flavor of well-made. There's a funny thing, and it's hard to explain, but, you know, I have always had these different ways of describing certain wines, but the flavor of well-made is like really shocking. And it's also that there's, you get the flavor, I will call it wine on this too, the flavor of new equipment, which is you can taste. And then there's the flavor of old barrels, which is like you've screwed up the wine with these old barrels. I don't know what you're doing. Stop doing it. Anyway, Verite is quite the product. We wouldn't do it with a yak burger. I'd say a yak steak. For the round table, a few shows back. Coincidentally, my husband, Chris, and I celebrated our third wedding anniversary last week. What better belated gift than a little change and an upgrade? Please credit this donation to my husband, Chris Spradling, elevating him to the status of baronet. Henceforth, he would like to be known as Baronet Chris of the Sonoma Crush. Stay dangerous, gents. Your friend from Verite, Dame Damie.
What a wonderful gift. And congratulations. 3 years. They never had a fight. Very nice. Now, I don't have a Don
Of course you don't, because this was last show's overrun. That was the 505 on top of the 800, and it was taken care of last week, last show.
Okay. He's taken care of.
Daniel Galloway's another story.
Okay. Do you want to handle the Galloway story?
I don't have it.
Oh,
it's a check that came in. This is a check. Mm-hmm. All the checks were put in today's show, by the way, from the last couple of shows, because Jay wasn't around and I didn't do the work. Another problem. Daniel Galloway came in with a check, a bank check for $500. And I haven't heard from him. And when I hear from him, he'll go to the top of the notes next show.
Okay. All right, groovy. Well, then that's taken care of. Then I'll move on to Pamela Nyman. That's how I'd pronounce it. She's in Amsterdam, 400. 1407, the date of the revolution, a show date, and my birthday. Three good reasons to bring myself to damehood. Being born and raised in Amsterdam and having been a part of the production team of the movie Amsterdammed, which is actually quite a good movie. Dick Maas and, this racing a speedboat through the canals of Amsterdam. It's a good movie.
No.
Yeah, they jump over the bridges. It's a good movie. I would be proud to become Dame Pamsterdam. Okay, Dame Pamsterdam. I like it too. She's hosting a meetup on Sunday to celebrate in the Netherlands. Can I order a Campari with a little bit of ice and some goat cheese for the round table? Yes. Would you like the goat cheese muddled in the Campari? Or would you like it separate? Big hugs and thanks for all you do. No jingles, but the best goat karma you have for our Dutch farmers and all who support them. Hartelijke groet van Pam.
You've got karma.
And to Dayton, Texas. We have Dayton, Texas. Mark Hampton, 333.33. I've been listening for years and donated enough to claim knight status, but don't feel I'm worthy of a title. I have only one request. I'm in desperate need of jobs karma. I was let go after 31 years.
My goodness.
Thank you. Thank you, capitalism. Love the show. Sincerely, Mark. And I want to, he's listed to be knighted, I guess, just his name.
Yeah, we'll do his name. Yeah. But what I am going to do is I'm going to roll out some goat and some TPP. He needs after 31 years, these people.
Yeah.
Jobs.
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 Jobs. Jobs. Jobs.
Jobs. Jobs.
You've got karma.
Hopefully that helps. Jonathan Walker, also in Texas, Spring, Texas. I looked, email sent with knighthood request, subject donation, Jonathan Walker. I am hoping you received that, John.
Not that I know of. I'll take another look while you keep reading.
Claire Hayes is in St. Paul, Minnesota, 333.33. These are our favorite executive producer donations amounts. Thank you for all you do, sending love to my smoking hot husband, Scott, for being my rock. And to my fabulous brother, Sir Golo, who introduced me to your show. I'd like F Cancer and a house buying karma. Love is lit. This is Claire from St. Paul. Okay.
There's no note from Annie Walker, let alone a Jonathan. And I believe that he sent it to the wrong email address, because that's what usually happens. He did everything right. He put donation in the main line, which would have been picked up last night.
Yeah.
And so that's what I suspect.
Okay. Well, he'll send it on and we'll fix it for him.
You've got karma.
Sir Endernot, wave bender of spark in Williamsville, New York, 333.33. Been a douche. Sorry. Thanks for all you do. Sir Endernot, wave bender of spark.
Okay. James Jackson, Paso Robles, California, 333. I also do not have a note for him.
What about Grand Point?
I'm sorry? Did I miss? I'm sorry.
Sir RJ of the Grand Point.
Yeah, you're right. I missed one. Sir RJ of Grand Point, Manitoba, Canada. Grand Point, yes. 333.33 is 245.7.17 USD. That's okay. For whatever reason, we still equate dollary dues and dollarettes from Scandinavia and Australia as equal, just because we love you guys. You're kind of in the dollar family, so you are an executive producer. This donation is for his birthday, July 12th, and the second anniversary of listening to the show. An OG Sharpton Superclip makes a great birthday present. Sir RJ of Grand Point, Manitoba. I'm going to play the rest of that teleprompter clip we started with earlier.
Intravenous fluids and pills coated with gelatin. We don't leave our women or men in uniform behind. It's a monument to the hubris of Dick Cheney. Representative Raul Ara Labrador. Years of abuse. I personally apologize to Mr. Peebus. Just ask to soon to be former congressman. Democrats are outright jitty.
There it is, jitty.
You've got
I like
karma.
The Peebus. James, we have nothing from James Jackson from Paso Robles, California. $333.
Doesn't he get a double then?
He gets a double karma thingy.
He sure does. Bring you the double karma.
You've got double up. Karma.
Andy P. is next. San Marcos, Texas, 333. I'm here thanks to the Barnhart podcast.
Oh.
You familiar with that? First donation, no. Please de-douche me.
Okay, we can do that.
De-douched.
I would have donated sooner, but my company sent me home for 5 months with no pay or benefits for not accepting the jab into my life. I want to thank my smoking hot wife for supporting me through this ordeal. This donation means I'm back to work and above water. But more importantly, it's my wife's gift of an executive producer for me for my 50th birthday. You're on the list, which was yesterday by show air. The 13th. The 13th. Shout out to C Mike. Thanks for all you do.
All right. Next on the list. Let's see. Am I at Andy P now? No. Wait a minute. This is him. Who has this? I'm confused. He asked for jingles here.
He did?
He's at the bottom. That's why I was confused. Jingles.
Oh, jingles. No pagan karma. Smoking hot wife. Reset me. Resist me much. Rebelizer.
Okay. Hold on a second.
Sorry.
No. I just want to make sure we're doing it all right. Number station. I can't find Rebelizer for the. Here we go. Finally. Okay. You're asking for a lot, but we'll do what we can here.
But resist we much. We must and we will much about that be committed.
India Tango Mike, stand by. 33, 33, 33, Rebelizer out.
There you go. Then we have Emily Shade in Beaverton, Oregon. And Emily says, the 14th is my 30th birthday. Please add me to the list. You're on it. No jingles, just a big heaping of new decade. Yak karma, please. And thank you.
You've got karma.
That's got to hurt. Next on the list, Sir Donald of the Fire Bottles in Spokane Valley, Washington. 280 and 28. We have not heard from him for a while.
Indeed.
And we always read his notes, no matter whether he's in that here or there, because he writes on official United Federation of Planets stationery.
Yeah, you can't mess with those guys.
Gents, let me start the boob celebration early. This donation of 28028 is the sum of 8008, 8006. 6008 and 6006 all combined, a large and small boobs of various sizes, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Concerning the double up karma jingle, when I listen to it, I hear you've got double up pharma something. Pharma CD.
No. This is with the double karma. People keep saying it's not. You know, I'll play it for you. You tell me if you're hearing or say you've got karma or pharma. Here, listen to it.
You've got double up pharma.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
But that's blue dress, you know, silver dress.
Yeah, kind of. You can hear it in there if you want. If you want to hear that, you will hear
it. It's the jingle. Nothing changed.
Well, I know, but it's stepped on and off, you know, it's like when you tell somebody something in advance and you show them a picture as you show them a different picture.
Yeah.
You know, how it works.
I hear
Please
you.
Give it a run through. Tell me what you hear. I hear both. I can't unhear the pharma part. Sir Donald of the Fire Bottle, Spokane, Washington.
Very nice. Okay. And he has no jingles request there or anything? Nothing? No.
I don't see anything. Well, he already got his request, which was the one you just played.
Correct. Alan Grunion is in Driftwood, Texas, 250, associate executive producership for him. Has got a couple jingles listed here. Hello, Crackpot and Buzzkill. I'm sending some value for value to commemorate the launch of season two of Grunion's, a comedic political puppet show based, I've seen this, based on the hypocrisy and idiocracy in our society. I hope to be a knight by season five. Please de-douche me.
You've been de-douched.
This season, a new virus with a very long name has hit the town of Grunion Oaks, with one of the symptoms being the old googly eye. Grunion health officials like Dr. Phony Slouchy. Okay, hold on a second. He sent me an example here of the Grunions. What is this? This is some audio from his puppet show.
I've seen the evidence. You know the masks don't work, and they're a way to control Grunions, and you're profiting off of it. Why? Those podcasts are gonna run your brain.
Grunions, search for Grunions YouTube bit shoot. No agenda to ban video or Brighteon, probably. It's not on there, but it might be. Check out
those podcasts are gonna rot your brain.
Right on. Oh, that's a good one. Let's save that right there. Your work ethic and insights are informative and inspiring. And who knows, maybe I can get YouTube to boot a comedic puppet show off their platform. Karma for all. Stay woke. Alan Grunion and his jingle. Somebody's getting cornholed. Shut up already. It's science and it's real.
Someone's getting cornholed today.
Sounds like a recipe for success to me.
Shut up already. Science.
It's real.
All right, man. Thank you.
Rather odd combination.
No.
Pat Eckhard, $228 in Rochester, Minnesota nuts. And she says, all kinds of dealer's choices here. $162 for Pat Eckert, $33 for Andrew Selly, and $33 for Jordan with an Eckert. Okay. Whatever that means. I discovered you guys after listening to Adam on the Joe Rogan Show. After over 2 years of listening, I finally am donating.
Nice.
Please forgive me. I'm a huge cheap ass. Your tremendous value can no longer be denied. And I had to donate. Can I get a quick consulting question? I'm a small construction company, and I'm looking for help updating one of my websites. Can you give me an email to the trolls or any help, please? My email is ECI 4268 at Yahoo. So anybody out there want to do some web work? Send it to Eric too.
ECI 4268.
Yeah. Boots on the ground report. I've been a licensed contractor since 99. Every time there is a big price hike in gas, I get letters from building suppliers about fuel shortages and surcharges and increasing prices. This is the first time I've not gotten the fuel surcharge letters like in the past.
Oh, that's interesting. I wonder why.
I would get them at about a 20 cent price hike in gas. Just an observation.
Thank you. Scott the Jew is in Post Falls, Idaho. No, I don't think she had anything.
Yeah, she has a jingle, Dealer's Choice.
Oh, Dealer's Choice.
Dealer's Choice. And the
And I'll just do a double karma. Pharma.
You've got. double up. Pharma.
Yeah, that's mine now. Now I'm hearing it too. Scott the Jew, Post Falls, Idaho. Row of ducks, 222.22. Here's some value in the form of treasure, finally, he says. Hoping for a de-douching and the airing of this upcoming meetup promo.
You've been de-douched.
Yep, I got it. They will air in the meetup segment. With gratitude, Scott the Jew, North Idaho Sanity Brigade. Thank you.
This is the one. I always get stuck with this. There's a pronunciation for this.
Oh,
Grasho, I think.
Grasshit. Yeah, it's grass shit. Grasshit.
Grasshit in Michigan, which is the kind of pot they smoke there. 21968, and this is Eric Senkmaier, I'm guessing. Happy birthday to my smoking hot wife who turned 54 on Friday, born in 1968. I've donated 200 plus 3X. But I am only credited on IMDb two times. This will be my fourth. Sent John an email with documentation 2 weeks ago. I don't do that.
No one does that. You have to do that yourself. You do have to like get an account.
There was some guy, remember, there was some guy some time back who was doing it.
That's interesting.
And he stopped doing it. You got to do it yourself.
Oh, that's right. We did have a producer who was
doing it. So you assumed that one of us was doing something other than the show.
That's a very bad assumption.
Yes, you know what happens when you assume.
You're making an ass out of you and me.
Sent John an email with documentation 2 weeks ago.
Oh, no.
Jingles. Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Thanks for the email. I will say that.
Yeah.
Jobs, Carmen, MILF, and GOAT.
You got it.
MILF. That's one mother I'd like to.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
You got karma.
And coming in with 201 from Towson, Maryland, there's our friend of the show, our pal of the pod.
I think it's Towson, isn't it?
I don't know. Spooktown. Spooktown.
It's definitely that.
Spooktown. Roger Roundy, who does not know this famous artist, he says, I auctioned off my first NFT and pass along the value to your singular indispensable podcast. Thank you, acclaimed British thespian and publican Gwuff Gregory Foreman, for the winning bid. Well, how about that? We finally made some money off an NFT, John. Congratulations. We're now crypto bros.
I don't know what Roundy was so jacked up about NFTs, and he's thinking he can make some money on the side.
He's doing something right.
Well, his stuff is good, so I can see people buying it.
Yeah, exactly. You need good stuff. Thank you very much, Roger. Appreciate that. We're now crypto bros. I love it.
Crypto bros. Corey Laparus in St. Augustine, Florida, $200. And he writes, hello, ACC, JCD, SNSL, Jingles, JCD, Raven, and Steck, Fat Bitch.
I don't think you mean Steck. I think you mean...
Fat Bitch!
That's Fletcher.
I think you maybe think Steck is doing that. Thanks for everything. Corey Laparus.
Maybe thinks his stick is one of those. I don't know. It's very strange.
Bad bitch!
it!
Straight from Reseda, here she is, Raven. Give it up.
There you go, Raven. Matthew Nolan, Phoenix.
You know, Raven, you know, she did quit after the place burnt down, and she's now a mother of four.
Oh, really? Where's she living? Tallahassee?
No, she's in Van Nuys.
Oh. last, our final associate executive producer is Matthew Nolan from Phoenix, New York. 200. I was recently discovered as a no agenda listener by a coworker. We greeted each other with a hearty but confused in the morning. But that was where our pleasantries ended. The topic of donations was quickly brought up, and as I could not lie to a fellow no agenda listener, I confessed my douchebagdom to him. No, that's a coming out at the workplace. The grin on his face told me all I needed to know. I hope this note and donation reaches you in time to save my good name, as Gabe said he was working quickly to call me out. So with that, please de-douche me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean for that to happen.
What?
I don't know why that happened.
You've been de-douched.
De-douche me along with some yak karma. Oh, and a douchebag call out for my brother. Oh, what's your brother? Philip. Okay, we got that for him.
Douchebag.
You've got karma.
Thank you for all you do, says Matthew Nolan. Thank you, executive producers and associate executive producers. We no longer provide the free service, but you can go yourself to IMDb. We don't have anyone providing the service for us right now. It's hard to get good people. So you can take these official credits because they are real credits, no different from any other Hollywood production. You're an executive producer or associate executive producer of episode 1468 of the No Agenda Show, the best podcast in the universe, and you are appreciated and you were instrumental to that episode's success. That is what you can go post on IMDb or on your LinkedIn or put on your business cards or just say it randomly in a bar. See what happens. You might be surprised. You might get one of those in the mornings. They're so fun. If you'd like to learn how to become an executive producer or a producer, or just if you'd like to do anything to help the show out, go here.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Thank you to all of you producers of episode 1468.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Order.
Shut up, Clay.
All right.
All right.
So I have a couple of clips about Roe, since you talked about it and finished it. And let's start with
This is from the now. What was this hearing in the Senate? Was the let me just get this straight. Supreme Court comes out with the Dodd opinion, which quote unquote overturns Roe and some other cases. So then all of a sudden we have to have an emergency hearing to discuss this. What is the premise of this other than for sound bites for politicians?
Oh, there's no premise for, okay, except for sound bites, but right. It's the same. They just say, okay, the January 6th hearing is this over. They bang the gavel and then they say, okay, stay in your seats. We're going to start this.
Oh, the same people? The same committee?
It's almost the same.
Oh, goodness.
They have Raskin, for example.
Oh. He's got to stop dyeing his hair. It's really unnatural, Jamie.
Well, if anyone needs a lift, it's him.
Yeah.
Let's listen to Raskin go on and on and on.
All right. So how could you allow a woman to have an abortion in the case of rape or incest? That would be murder, is what they say. Now, Ms. Gosgraves, I'm worried about this. It was the founder of the Republican Party, President Lincoln, who said...
Okay, I had to stop it right there. President Lincoln... Now, this guy is a U.S. sitting senator. He's been there forever.
Mm-hmm.
President Lincoln wasn't the founder of the Republican Party. The Republican Party was founded earlier than Lincoln showed up. There was even ran a candidate in 1856 named... Fremont ran, and he ran against the Democrat and somebody who, Millard Fillmore, who ran on the Know Nothing Party, and I don't know what they're thinking the in terms of marketing back in the day.
The Know Nothings, I remember those. Those were good.
So let's go over some of the details here. Because Raskin, as sitting senator in this U.S. government, thinks that Abe Lincoln was the founder of the Republican Party, as he just said. Okay, who is the founder of the Republican Party?
It was burgeoning. It was new at the time, but he certainly didn't start it.
It began in 1854. Lincoln was elected in 1860. So it was 6 years had gone by. He had joined the party as it formed. It was an offshoot of the... I'll just read from this little history here from Robert McNamara. The change splintered both. Okay, the catalyst for the founding of the party is the passage of the Kansas-Nebraska Act in the spring of 1854. The law was a major change from the Missouri Compromise of 3 decades earlier and made it seem possible that new states in the West would come into the Union as pro-slavery states.
Right.
The change splintered both major parties of the era, the Democrats and the Whigs. Each party contained factions that either endorsed or opposed the spread of enslavement into the Western territories. Before the Kansas-Nebraska Act, it was even a signal into law by President Franklin Pierce. Protest meetings had been called in a number of locations. With meetings and conventions happening in a number of northern states, it is impossible to pinpoint one particular place and time when the party was founded. One meeting was at a schoolhouse in Ripon, Wisconsin, in March 1st, 1854, and often credited as being where the Republican Party was founded. According to a number of accounts published in the 19th century, a convention of disaffected Whigs and members of the fading Free Soil Party, which is really the genesis of the Republican Party, assembled in Jackson, Michigan on July 6th, 1854.
This is quite a ways to go to tell Jamie Raskin's an idiot.
He deserves it. A Michigan congressman, Jacob Merritt Howard, was credited with drawing up the first platform of the party and giving it the name Republican Party.
But it's the party of Lincoln.
So Raskin is full of shit.
You know what's going to happen now? Raskin's going to get all kinds of emails and phone calls about some podcaster.
I hope so.
You know, some podcasters say, you don't know what you're talking about, Matt.
So here we go with part two of his spiel.
It was the founder of the Republican Party, President Lincoln, who said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand. I believe this government cannot endure permanently half slave and half free." Can we endure half free choice states and half theocratic compelled pregnancy states? Is that going to work for America? Like, what do you see as the future of this?
And I am deeply worried. This is the first time in our nation's history where the Supreme Court has taken away a...
Is this Amy?
No, this is some black woman with a kind of a Valley Girl voice.
Oh.
...since history where the Supreme Court has taken away an individual right in the Constitution. A right that two generations of people have come up with. So now you have grandmothers looking at their grandchildren and understanding that they're going to have fewer rights.
This is their main talking point. I have less rights than my mom. It's stale. Yeah, it's stale. Like. It's stale. Can I just, since you did a historical, I just want to mention something because I had this in the show notes for last show, didn't get to it. President Jefferson's mansion in Monticello, Virginia. Have you ever been there to the?
Yes, I have.
I've been there as well. It was 10, 12 years ago. What was your experience of the house?
It was a nice place.
Mm-hmm. And it's a museum at the same time.
It's a museum. It's got a lot of old art.
Well, I can't wait to go again because they have gone completely woke. Everywhere they talk about the enslaved chef. Oh, so this is the kitchen where the enslaved chef would work. This is the slave quarters. They have signs everywhere. And even here, this is... quote from this article, grievance has become the predominant theme at Monticello, from the ticket booth in the visitor center, decorated with a contemporary painting of Jefferson's weeping slaves, to its final gift shop display. Not even the president's world-famous music room, an octagonal space carefully restored to its 18th-century grandeur and decorated with Gilbert Stuart's original presidential portrait and classical bust, is safe from revisionist disapproval. A grim modern painting of a faceless figure with a matte black head now looms over the room, positioned so that it directly confronts visitors when they enter the mansion. The painting was, quote, commissioned in honor of Juneteenth last month. So, and there's like even the tour guys.
But they're bringing in new stuff?
Yes! Modern stuff. Modern stuff. And the workers are super. Here, this is a quote from someone. I always enjoyed visiting Monticello in the past. The workers are super friendly and helpful. Unfortunately, on this guided tour, we were lectured more on slaves and Sally Hemings than the man himself. Sally Hemings was the slave that he apparently fathered children with. Half of the comments on Jefferson were critical. I expected for the price to have enjoyed it more. Even my 11-year-old daughter noticed the bias. We are well aware of the tragedy of slavery during the early part of this country's history, but please center your presentations on the man and his accomplishments rather than promoting guilt. So the whole house has been ruined by woke. It's the house of woke. That's really sad to hear these things.
Well, you know, this is what I've been saying. Don't let one get in there.
That's right.
You know,
Well, it's, you know, the whole foundation is 85% Democrats who fund that house. So that's why their money, their history.
So back to Roe.
Yep.
This woman, Kate, was on to give a little testimony. His name is Erin Hawley. She was the main lawyer.
This is great.
He's the main lawyer in the Dodd case. Mississippi case that's triggered this whole thing. And she gives a nice little spiel here, and then there's a little back and forth with her versus I got the two different Hawleys here, but she's a different Hawley than the Hawley you're thinking of, which is a senator.
Yeah.
Okay, let's play her first, then we'll play the Senator Hawley go off against this woke law professor from Berkeley over here.
Okay, so this is someone else. This is Erin Hawley. I got it.
Being Chairwoman Maloney, Ranking Member Comer, and members of the committee.
This is her opening statement.
This actually explains a lot. And that's the reason I have it clipped here, so you can get a little side of the story.
So even without, just from what I recall, I have not heard the clip, of course. What I recall is this case in Mississippi, they were actually debating 12 or 15 weeks being the window for aborting a pregnancy, but that, and maybe she's the lawyer, they said, we'd love to do that, but we can't actually, because, you know, this is unconstitutional the way it is. And this was the case that I think the wedge that forced the Dodd decision, which forced the overturning of Roe. Am I correct?
I don't know.
Chairwoman Maloney, Ranking Member Comer, and members of the committee. I'm Erin Hawley, Senior Counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom. The Supreme Court's decision in Dobbs corrects a 50-year wrong, one that resulted in the death of over 60 million unborn children. Roe versus Wade was premised on egregious legal errors, and its reversal is a tremendous victory for life and for the American people. Roe cheated us of our ability to promote good policy, but Dobbs restores our opportunity to reaffirm motherhood, and in so doing, to empower women. Roe was terrible constitutional law. It invented, fabricated really, a constitutional right from thin air. And scholars across the political spectrum believe the case was wrongly decided. Roe took from the American people the ability to protect unborn life in an exercise of raw judicial power. As a result of Roe, the United States has been an extreme outlier in abortion law, being one of only a few countries like China and North Korea, to allow elective abortion for any reason up until the moment before birth.
Yep, that's about
now,
right.
Now, this came up in the conversation amongst people that were just kind of level-headed talking about this. What happened with Roe was it gave the green light to infanticide for all practical purposes. It grew. I mean, it started normally at the beginning in 72, as, you know, it should, abortion should be rare, should have good reasons.
And Joe Biden himself said that it should be it should be rare and safe.
And it evolved into, like, anytime you want, abortion on demand, do it right here. If the baby comes out, as long as you say it hasn't come out, club him to death. It doesn't matter. And somebody pointed out that this was an example of the liberals taking advantage of a situation. So they, you know, and they'd taken it to the extreme, which resulted, they're the ones that brought this upon themselves if they don't like it. Anyway, but meanwhile, of course, you have these super wokes, including
super wokes.
This arrogant, self-absorbed. What is it when you have you feel you're owed something?
Entitled.
This woman is so entitled that she thinks that she can go to before Congress and she doesn't want to answer any questions. This is a Professor Bridges at the University of California Law School over here at Berkeley.
A lawyer. She's a lawyer.
She's a professor.
Mm-hmm.
She's a professor and she's teaches kids this. And she is arrogant. And it's one of the funniest scenes that ever took place during these hearings is this Senator Hawley. And her
in fact,
having
in
this
fact,
small.
This is the entire reason for this session is to get a soundbite like this. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, the one for Hawley this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks to all of the witnesses for being here. Before I want to visit with you, Ms. Minsky, but before I do, I just want to clear one thing up. Professor Bridges, you said several times, you've used a phrase, I want to make sure I understand what you mean by it. You've referred to people with a capacity for pregnancy. Would that be women?
Many women, cis women, have the capacity for pregnancy. Many cis women do not have the capacity for pregnancy. There are also trans men who are capable of pregnancy, as well as non-binary people who are capable of pregnancy.
So this isn't really a women's rights issue. We can recognize
that this impacts women while also recognizing that it impacts other groups. Those things are not mutually exclusive, Senator Hawley.
Oh, so your view is that the core of this right then is about what?
So I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic and it opens up trans people to violence by not recognizing that.
Wow, you're saying that I'm opening up people to violence by asking whether or not women are the folks who can have pregnancies?
So I want to note that 1 out of 5 transgender persons have attempted suicide. So I think it's important
because of my line of questioning.
Because
we can't talk about it.
Because denying that trans people exist and pretending not to know that they exist.
I'm denying
dangerous.
That trans people exist by asking you if you're talking about women having pregnancies.
Do you believe that men can get pregnant?
No, I don't think
so. You are denying that trans people exist.
And that leads to violence. Is this how you run your classroom? Are students allowed to question you?
Absolutely.
Or are they also treated like this? Where
no,
they're told that
to
they're opening up people to violence.
We have a good time in my class. You should join.
Oh, I bet.
You might learn a lot.
Wow, I would learn a lot. I've learned a lot just
in
this exchange.
Absolutely.
Extraordinary.
Yeah, this is an incredible recording. And it explains so much. We had several parents here over the weekend, parents of younger kids, but also of millennials, and down to the T, even though most of the kids are pretty normal, okay, not super woke, but when it comes to correcting pronouns, they're all in. That's a they, Mom. That's a them. Even the former New York Bankers kid, when we stayed over a couple weeks ago. And we're talking to one of their kids, you know, the kids are 17, and they were talking about someone in his class. And then he says, it's them. And not in a horrible way, not like she's doing, but just like, oh, no, it's a they, it's a them. They're completely all in, completely programmed. And I would say that's kind of ground zero of this crap. I mean, let's just...
I know, it's great. It's amazing how well they made that work. Same here with Jay. I don't get it from JC, and Jesse probably would do
Jay.
It, but she won't.
Yeah.
She's
yeah, but you own their house, so they're gonna tread lightly.
Jay does it constantly. No, yeah. that's a she, it's a he, it's a they, it's a they never say whatever happened to G though. The G's.
I miss the G's. The G's were cool. I mean, the Latinx is gone. That had to go because the breakfast tacos push back. These people are so racist. I love it. I love it. That was so telling. That is very telling. And it's doublespeak. It's Ministry of Truth. It's 1984.
It's total doublespeak. These are made up situations. We're trying to drop the word woman as a woman. People, which kills me because you think these women who are correcting us for saying she instead of they, which is very confusing when you write something, by the way, as a writer, yeah. Using they as a singular in many structures is almost impossible. You can do it other structures. You can write around it so you can say, well, then they went to the store, meaning a person.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Not because that's their pronoun. It's just a way of doing to write where you don't have him or her. You would use they as a singular person, but not because it's their pronoun. It's because it's the way you can manage the usage. But just when you actually call a singular person a they, and you're talking specifically about, then Gail went to the store. They went, the boys went to the store with Gail. They went with them. You know, it just becomes a mess.
Yeah.
And this is part, I think, a moment where you're trying to confuse. It's literally confusing to read pronouns, the pronoun they, into a written scenario of any sort.
And I have a personal mission. Anyone who has their pronouns in their email signature, I won't converse with you. I'm just sick of it. And I don't need you. I don't need you in my life. You know, you're transmitting virtue signals. It's not necessary. Or take it off when you email me. Or maybe I'll put in something really nasty in mine.
Mimi does it. You're probably not going to be able to converse with her. She uses the pronouns she and it, which comes out as she it.
Oh, okay. Go, Mimi. Messing with the man and the system. So here in Texas, we have, and this is part of the ground zero. We called it, or I think you called it early on. We have this almost, and I'm just going to leave in the middle, right, wrong, indifferent. But from my personal view, the heartbeat law it doesn't cut the mustard, doesn't cover the basis for certain things that just may have to happen. So it's almost impossible to get an abortion in Texas. And where this belongs, this conversation in Texas, is I will vote accordingly with my conscience. If this is a big issue for me, it may or may not be. I'm going to vote or not vote for politicians who do or don't support that. That's how you change your local community and your city and your county and your state. But somehow Texas women are just so funny. When they want to protest, now in Austin, we've got, libtards, magatards, everyone's yelling and screaming. But I really love this protest because, of course, if the unborn child is a human, well, then you do have to assert some rights.
A Texas woman is fighting a traffic ticket by arguing that her unborn baby counts as a passenger in her car. Brandy Patone was pulled over for driving alone in the carpool lane. She argues that the state's abortion law now recognizes a fetus as a person. However, the Department of Transportation's legal code does not, so the officer gave her a $275 ticket, which she now says she plans to fight in court.
I'm not trying to make a huge political stance here, but do you understand that this is a baby? And he kind of just brushed me off and asked me to go to the other officer to get my citation.
Legal experts say the case exposes unique legal questions and could raise further questions like, can pregnant women claim child support for their unborn baby?
I love that too.
I've always believed that a pregnant woman, especially if you can see it,
she should have the carpool lane. Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised the cop gave her a ticket. Most cops like to write, it must have been that time of year, time of month where you got to get your numbers.
But I'd much rather hear that kind of protest in my news story. It's like, okay, you make a good point, lady. And it's multifaceted. So I kind of enjoy that. Now, along with this, to ram through this message of how horrible Republicans are and the Supreme Court is invalid, we had the 10-year-old rape story, which turns out, the jury's still out, if it was true, the girl was actually raped at 9 years old. And here's Chris Hayes over at MSNBC to berate everybody.
A lot of people criticize the Indianapolis Star's reporting, but it doesn't seem like many spent a lot of resources trying to confirm it. We'll never guess what the Star reported today. Quote, a man has been charged with raping a 10-year-old Ohio girl who's traveled to Indiana to seek an abortion, attracted international attention following the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. The man was arrested Tuesday after police say he admitted to raping the child on at least two occasions.
So we have a perp. They arrested him. All of a sudden, lickety-split, arrested him. But there's a lot of questions about this. Now, of course, we should never see the, or hear the name of the victim. This is horrible, if true. But the so-called perpetrator who has confessed his guilt was apparently here illegally. And I have a feeling that he may be related to the girl, which is another thing that will not be reported. So, but that doesn't matter because you heard what Chris Hayes did there. Hey, you idiots. It's like, oh, I guess you should have researched it. A guy confessed. I question a little bit. Question that.
Well, I know the right wing is going after the fact he's an illegal alien and nobody wants to talk about that.
Yeah.
Well, and it wouldn't have happened in the first place.
The meme is narratives collide. Hey, meanwhile, the central bank just keeps printing money and inflation is 9.1%. But please keep on yelling at each other. Or, you know what? Get snipped.
In the days following the Supreme Court's decision, Dr. Doug Stein says the number of calls to his clinic near Tampa tripled, as did the number of men signing up for vasectomies.
With rights being taken away from women, and we know what they've been through with them being primarily responsible for contraception. It's just time for men to step up to the plate.
The number of patients under 30 without children nearly doubled. He takes extra steps to confirm they are 100% sure they want the procedure.
Let's go for it.
27-year-old Thomas Figueroa is one of them. He says he and his girlfriend do not want children, so a vasectomy had been on his mind.
I've always thought about this decision. The Supreme Court did push me to finally do it.
He let us in on the procedure, which blocks sperm from entering semen. It's outpatient, takes about 10 minutes, and has about a two-day recovery. A female tubal ligation is much more invasive and risky. Some men are concerned lawmakers may restrict birth control too.
I feel for a lot of men, especially for myself, that this is a way where they're trying to protect their girlfriends, they're trying to protect their partners.
These are some decisions not just made by men, but by families.
50% of our calls are from women.
This two-doctor practice can do six vasectomies an hour.
Yeah, thanks.
And although they are
thanks,
reversible.
Hey,
honey.
For your birthday, I have a gift certificate.
I got an appointment for you.
Not just made by men, but by families.
50% of our calls are from women.
50. This two-doctor practice can do six vasectomies an hour. And although they are reversible, Dr. Stein stresses not all reversals are successful.
A lot of the young men say, Doc, I know that vasectomies aren't to be considered reversible. But right now, an unintended pregnancy would be worse for me than a failed reversal.
Yeah, so cut your nuts off. Yeah, cut your nuts off. Cut your nuts off to save the planet. Cut your nuts off to save the planet.
Yeah!
So, you know, this happened in the 70s during the Ehrlich guy. Stanford professor wrote the population bomb and got everyone all freaked out. I know guys who had vasectomies during that period because they were going to save the earth. This is how this is the kind of mentality you run into in the with the left, which is, you know, I have to save the earth. I have to cut my nuts off. And so they did, and they're older. They're like my age.
Yeah.
And
are they
just miserable people?
Do they
they're all miserable people. They don't have kids and they just, you know, they're in some hobby or
they look like old lesbians.
They do look like old lesbians.
Hmm.
Now, I have three clips I want to play.
Okay.
Because these are this is on NPR. An expert comes on who is actually formerly on the Biden campaign, but now she's a pollster. And it's part of a series. And I've had these before. I don't play them as much as I'd like to, but it's the denialism that's in the Democrats side of the equation. They really don't believe that they're going to have their asses handed to them on the November election. And they want to believe that everything's going to be fine. It's going to be pretty objective.
Let me explain for the listeners and producers not in the United States, and sadly for many United States producers. Every 2 years, we have an election where we vote just for the Senate and the Congress. Not everybody's up. You know, there's governors, all kinds of stuff.
A lot of governors.
And then every 4 years, we do the general, where there's a lot of that, but then also the president and the vice president. So this is very important because, as we heard, the liberal school teacher has already jumped ahead, and she knows that the conservatives are in charge of everything. So now the Democrats have done their best to make that a fact by screwing everything up. And also they got screwed by the central bank, but at least they're getting blamed for it. Biden is, and that's just tough shit.
And that will continue.
Yeah.
But let's listen to this midterm summary. And this is, we'll start with the Dems.
There are now less than 4 months until the midterm elections in this country. And Democrats are facing a series of headwinds, from inflation to gun violence to abortion rights, that are affecting the attitude of Democratic voters. Meantime, as we've reported, a new New York Times Siena College poll out this week shows 60% of voters, including a quarter of Democrats, disapprove of the job President Biden's doing. Laura Barrón-López has more on that Democratic discontent.
Judy, despite the president's low approval ratings, that same poll shows the picture may not be as bleak for Democratic congressional candidates. Voters are evenly divided on which party should control Congress after the midterms. To discuss how Democrats are feeling about this election year, I'm joined by Celinda Lake. She is the president of Lake Research Partners, a Democratic polling group that regularly conducts focus groups with voters. She was also an advisor for President Biden's 2020 campaign. Celinda, thanks for joining us. Let's look beyond the numbers, because you're
this is NPR.
Yes,
this is bad. What a read. Oh wait.
No, I'm sorry, this is PBS. It's worse,
but this is bad too. Thanks, and thanks for joining us. It's so insincere because she's just reading a script.
Polling group that regularly conducts focus groups with voters. She was also an advisor for President Biden's 2020 campaign. Celinda, thanks for joining us. Let's look beyond the numbers, because you're talking to Democrats and new voters in these focus groups. It's been 3 weeks since Roe was overturned. Wow. There's a new gun law. Why are President Biden's approval ratings stuck while Democrats are starting to see favorable movement?
Well, I think it's always slower. The presidential numbers are always slower to move, and the presidential numbers are very tied to the economy, and inflation is still a big problem. People don't expect their congressperson to solve the economy. They unrealistically do expect their president to solve the economy, including their own personal gas prices and the price for skirt steak and their grocery store. So I think that when you get to the congressional races, people are voting a lot more their local issues and what's happening in their states. They're voting things that are clear distinctions between the candidates. And there is no clearer distinction between the candidates right now than opinions on the overturning of Roe v. Wade and access to abortion and birth control for women.
Hold on. Skirt steak?
I don't know why she'd say skirt steak.
Why don't you just say chuck? You know, just like with the slaves are worried about what a skirt steak. Wait, while you're eating filet mignon. Second, it appears.
I think she should have just said steak. But, yeah. But beef, before, now beef. We go into OMG.
I want to say one more thing about this. It sounds like, just like the economy, which we talked about in the last show, if you just say, inflation will go down, that it actually does kind of work. So I think they're so delusional that they believe that if they just keep saying, we're doing better, hey, things are looking up, that it just will.
They're blowing smoke, and it's so, and they're arrogant about it. They really, and I've had clips before, these Democrats don't know. They really think they're going to do well in these midterms because they're, you know, the Democrats are smart. They're on the right side of history, this and that.
Yeah.
And they're arrogant about it. This woman does focus groups. Yeah, with other Democrats. It's ridiculous to listen to these people. But there's oh my God moments that are coming up, one in each of the following two clips. And let's go with clip two.
I want to cover two more quick topics with you, Celinda. The January 6 hearings have provided new evidence about former President Trump's efforts to pressure Justice Department officials to even pressure his own vice president to overturn the 2020 election results. Are these revelations coming up in your focus groups with Democratic or independent voters?
They really are. They're coming up with Democrats a lot. First of all, 65% of voters are aware of the hearings and at least aware of some of the findings from the hearings. And among independent voters, it's actually slightly higher. It's 71%. That is unheard of. You never have independents paying more attention than Democrats and Republicans to what's going on. Voters think it's a crime. 82% of voters want accountability. Independents and Democrats really want accountability. And they're furious about the will of the people being overturned. And January 6th is just the beginning. That attack on our country was the beginning of overturning elections, overturning the will of the people, overturning people's votes. What? And now we have Roe overturning people's will there, with voters solidly opposing the decision. So this is a very big issue, and it's penetrated way more than anyone would have imagined.
Well, this is it. This is the problem. They truly, the Democrats, these liberal people who are speaking, believe that one person, one vote, that we live in a democracy. Even the liberal school teacher is like, well, you know, once we get rid of the Electoral College.
He said that?
Yes, to which I said, California will be so happy, finally some ad money. I didn't go into the explanation.
You and your comment.
I didn't go into the explanation. But yes, oh no, that's an abomination. That is actually... The Electoral College is an attack on democracy. And yes, it is. It's an anti-democratic, it's a republic, a constitutional republic mechanism.
It's a fail-safe mechanism.
Yes.
It's to keep criminals from becoming president. Hello, Hillary.
And how did that work with the Biden crime family?
Well, it didn't work as well.
It didn't work as well as it should have.
Yeah.
But that. Okay. But this is what they believe.
No, it's fun to listen to. But and then this, by the way, I've seen this happen before. It happened during the Clinton administration when the Republicans just wiped out the Clinton House.
They all believed that they were going to do great in the midterms, and then
in the midterms they lost their ass, which both parties
always
do.
Both parties
always happen. So this is a shock somehow, and then they were just navel gazing for months and months and months. Oh, I don't understand how this could happen. Well, it just shows you that the public is stupid. And it goes on.
Electoral College is racist.
So here we go with the second one. I was going to end the clips there, but then I played some more and I said, oh my God, this is another dumb thing. Here we go.
Despite all of those issues that you just mentioned that could very well potentially motivate Democratic voters, recent polling shows that a majority of Democrats don't want President Biden to be the nominee in 2024. But are they naming any alternatives?
Oh, I think that those numbers are very flawed, honestly. It's a really silly question. In some ways, first of all, people are not naming alternatives.
Back it up and play that again so we understand what she said. The woman, the PBS woman, cites some actual facts and what we can kind of sense, which is that Biden's an idiot and everyone wants him out. And instead of accepting these numbers and explaining them, she says, the numbers are flawed. They're no good.
I'm going to start over.
Despite all of those issues that you just mentioned that could very well potentially motivate Democratic voters, recent polling shows that a majority of Democrats don't want President Biden to be the nominee in 2024. But are they naming any alternatives?
Oh, I think that those numbers are very flawed, honestly. It's a really silly question. People are not naming alternatives. Secondly, Democrats give the president solidly positive job performance ratings, three quarters or better. Thirdly, voters almost say it as, in the sense of it's a really hard job and maybe I'll offer him a retirement because it'll be easier on him, not that it'll be better for us. So those questions are extremely flawed. And I think what you'll see is Democrats uniting behind Democrats uniting behind the president and supporting his agenda overwhelmingly.
Wow. Okay. Well, I hope so for you, lady.
She's the one. You have to remember, she's from the Biden campaign. Now she's a pollster.
Doesn't seem
very likely. She's still on the Biden campaign. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Just lying to your face, or deluded. It's not that she's insincere.
No, she really believes. Well, she just thinks the numbers are wrong. I don't believe any polls, even if they're good or whatever. It's like, no, polls are always flawed. Depends. It's, well, to polls, me, it's like man on the street.
I love the man on the street. Although,
man on the street, I have to say, the more I watch the last 8 minutes of Jesse Waters, which is really, I watched the last 8 minutes because my machine records extra. I watched Tucker's monologue, then I'm asleep. But Jesse Waters, he keeps going out and he asks, and I know that they're selected, but he's asking simple things like, you know, who was our first president? what is the date of the Revolutionary War? You know, what is 4th of July about? Who was the independence from? You know, Germany. I mean, all kind. It's unbelievable how uneducated people are. It's and again, I know that they're just selecting, and they always have the one, you know, smart person like ding. Oh, I got it right. Ding, ding, ding. They're smart. That's just, oh, it's pathetic. It's pathetic. We've just never seen it this bad, John. I haven't. I don't know, man. I don't know about you.
It's always bad. So
yeah,
I do have one thing that just kind of flies in the face of what we just heard and all the rest of it, because it's not going to be. The problem the left is doing is with PBS, they normally don't talk about politics. I'm sorry, about economy, the economy. They don't talk about the economy. They just give a stock market, the stock market went up 60 points and blah, 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 and it's over. Right. But they're really bringing home this inflation thing. And I think it's undoing the work, the good work that they're doing in denial of what's going to happen in the midterms, because this doesn't help. And I have a clip called Inflation Rundown.
Oh, okay. I was, oh, good.
Inflation in the U.S. is the highest it's been in four decades, and new numbers out today give no reassurance it will let up soon. The Labor Department reported that consumer prices jumped 9.1% over last year, worse than economists had projected. Gas prices were up more than 11% in June. Furniture, clothing, healthcare, groceries, and cars grew more expensive as well. Beyond increases in food and energy prices, the core inflation index rose 0.7% over the previous month. To break down what this means for the economy and the American people, I'm joined by Greg Ipp, chief economics commentator at the Wall Street Journal. Greg Ipp, welcome back to the NewsHour.
Thanks for having me.
So, not such good news, and it looks like this is across the board, that almost everything's getting more expensive.
I think that was what was disappointing and surprising, is that there really was no good news in this report. I mean, obviously the big increase came from energy and food. Gasoline, as everybody knows, has gotten a lot more expensive in recent months. That's what pushed us over the 9% level, the highest annual rate of inflation in over 40 years.
Yeah. So just briefly on this, just to run through a little list of stuff all over the world that you're really not hearing about. What's happening is we now have almost, in fact, it was parity for a moment there yesterday. The dollar and the euro are now equal.
Yeah.
So what happens when you raise interest rates, and I finally figured out how to explain it. It's almost like shorting the dollar, or like a short squeeze on the dollar. So you raise interest rates. Everybody who's borrowed money, which is lots of countries, you know, like billions and hundreds of billions, they now have to pay more back for their loans. So what they're doing is they're like, I need some dollars. I got to get the cheap dollars now because it's going up. And of course, by buying, then the dollars go up. And what we effectively do is we push.
Actually, before you go on.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a loan outstanding, say international, your big country, you've taken a bunch of money out. This is just the opposite of what you said. You're not paying more interest. Your rate is fixed. Whatever the rate was, you get to pay it back with cheaper dollars.
If you have them, if you have euros, you need to go buy dollars very quickly, which is why those two converge.
Yes, now that's true. But
that's
we're talking about a loan per se has an interest rate. That interest rate doesn't go up.
No, it goes up. The interest rate goes up, the dollar gets stronger. Because when the interest rate goes up, the dollar gets stronger, the other currencies get weaker. So that's why other countries who have borrowed money, borrowed dollars, have to pay back dollars, but they don't possess dollars. They got to go buy them.
Yeah, that's true.
And so what's happening, and we're going to see sovereign wealth defaults. So this we are basically pushing our central bank, our Federal Reserve's problem onto, obviously, you know, we see this happening in the United States, but we push it out to, oh, here we go. We have Irish Times. Essential workers will get priority at the gas station when the shortages come this winter. Albania, huge protests over fuel cost inflation. Hungary declares state of emergency. Sri Lanka, of course, we know what's going on there. Armenia, people on the streets, they're ousting their government. Pakistan might be next. And I just love the Netherlands. Don't worry, people will just wrap themselves in the blanket a little more often this winter. It's going to be okay. The head of the gas uni says this. So we're really destroying the entire world system. Or at least putting it into a very destroying.
Well, this has happened before. There was a point where the dollar was 80 cents in terms of euro. I mean, the euro was 80 cents of a dollar. And then it went the other way and it got as bad as $1.35.
I agree. I agree. Except this time, there's 40 trillion more dollars that were printed. So, yeah, out of it. But
that's another.
But yeah. To fix it, it's going to be a little bit harder, I think. Doesn't matter?
But
yes.
Buy property in the United States. Good idea.
Right now? To buy property?
Raw land.
So you're all in with Bill Gates. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab.
Yeah, on No Agenda. In the morning.
We have a few people to thank, starting with Pete Federici in Dallas, Texas. It's $101.52, and we're going to give you some job karma for your partner at the end. Eric Adams in Middlesex, Vermont, $100. And here is, what does he say here? Okay, just says we got a great podcast. Patrick Comer in San Diego, California, $100. He says his PayPal got cut off. By the way, if this happens to you, check your PayPal, because they cut people off out of the blue.
And they'll say that we did it, which is just not true.
He comes in with $100 from San Diego. Kerry Jackson in Watertown, Tennessee, $100. AK and Dame Queen of the One-Liners in Beacon, New York, $99.90. Sir Kevin McLaughlin is up already. Duke Aluna, lover of American boobs, $8.008. Locust, North Carolina. Oscar in, he's in the Holland. So it's
Berkel and Roderijs.
Close enough. 8008.
He wants baby making karma, and I'll give that to him in a bit.
Heidi Walker in New Ipswich, New Hampshire, comes in twice with 8008. I don't know why, but she did. She's got a birthday coming up, and she's a double switcheroo donation to our daughter and Sarah in honor of her husband Ross's 40th trip. We got that around the sun on a 7 to 7:15 from Heidi and Mike, New Ipswich,
and then
New Hampshire. Also, call out nephew Wayne as a douchebag. Apparently got them all hooked on the show and hasn't donated. Joe Dirks, Amsterdam, 7777. Scott Caudill in Blair, South Carolina, 7772. Janine Agler in Garfield Heights, Ohio, 7140. Now, these are 7140 donations celebrating Bastille Day and Mac and Cheese Day.
That's right.
A combo, actually. You get two for the price of one. That's Janine Agler in Garfield Heights. Also, Mel Hart in Portland, Oregon. I'll just read the names and locations.
That's Millennial Mel. That's Millennial Mel.
Oh, Millennial. Hey, Mel. Christopher Hill in Swanview, Washington. David Weicker or Wicker in Jacksonville, Florida. Ryan Taporton in Burnsville, Minnesota. Nuts. Ryan Young in St. Louis, Missouri. Amy Mullen in Bastrop. Our friends in Bastrop, Texas.
Isn't it interesting how for Mother's Day, Father's Day, 4th of July, we almost got nothing, but Mac and Cheese Day, people come out for that?
Yeah, 4th of July was a dud.
But Mac and Cheese Day and Bastille, how could I miss out on that combo?
Bill, we continue with Bill Cameron in Charlotte, North Carolina. A dude named Mike of Not That Paris in Paris, California. He says, Viva la Macaroni. David Wolman in Fenton, Missouri. Sir Eric in Pilesville, Maryland. Luke Newport in St. Peter's, Missouri. And that's a group of, that's our well-wishers. We can move on from there. Sir M. Andrew Jones, Baron of America's Mountain in Colorado Springs, 6969. He did send a note in. I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, I do. Dear Johnsy, J-H-A-N-S-I, please let Adam know I will send him his button when I have more than just a button to send.
There you go.
Did he send you a button of some sort?
I don't remember one, but maybe.
Okay.
Bruce Schwalm in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 6933. Sir Brian Tobiasen, the Baron of Chiefs of the Chiefs Kingdom in Gardner, Kansas, 5888. Christopher Dechter, 5678. Jeffrey Sewell, 5678. And he's in Wyandotte, Michigan. Brandon Ellison in Rock Hill, South Carolina, 5555. Sir Tom Dari in DeForest, Wisconsin, 5510. Stephen A.Z. as possible, Loveland, Colorado, 5432. Brian Navarro in Los Angeles, California, $50.33. Apparently was triggered by a bunch of 33 showing up in his life. Baron Sir Economic Hitman, $50.01 in Houston, Texas. And the following people are $50 donors. Name and location, if I have the location. Daryl DeVille in Newton, Mississippi. Dame Patricia Worthington in Miami. Fabio Elvis in Monk's Corner, South Carolina. Brandon Savoie in Port Orchard, Washington. Philip Kim in San Francisco, California. Jim Tucker in National Park, New Jersey. Gavin McGoldrick, another guy named Gavin. And you send me, Gavin, send me a note on why you think you were named Gavin. It was apparently a popular name for a very short time. And he's in San Francisco.
And it's still a popular winner.
Jonathan Ferris in Liberal, Kansas. Joe Douglas, or I'm sorry, what did I say Douglas for? Doudna, Joe Doudna in Corning, California. Kevin Dills, Sir Kevin, in Huntersville, North Carolina. Michael Wendell in Matawan, New Jersey. And as we wrap up the checks from Leon Shipley in Covington, Washington. Dame Knight in Edmonds, Washington. Sir Jason DeLuzio, who's now in Miami Beach. William Dolgay in Bristolville, Ohio. Sir Brian Watson in Raleigh, North Carolina. Sir Brett Farrell, who is, I think, still in Oklahoma City. Claire Earle in Colorado Springs. And last but not least, the ever-famous Aichi Kitagawa in San Francisco.
We thank all of these producers and also those who came in under $50, typically for anonymity, but also people on the subscriptions, which is very important to us. They're sustaining donations. Good showing, everybody. Thank you. Again, thank you to our executive and associate executive producers. You really came through, and we highly appreciate that, especially in these times. A couple of make goods for people who didn't get their notes in on time. Execs or associates from the last time, Aggie Latsis. Here's Aggie's note. Adam and John, been a while since I showed appreciation for what you do. Last year, I mentioned we hosted a party of 90 Latvians at our house. It was a lot of fun without COVID spread reported afterward. This year, very different story. Last week, my husband and I went to the Latvian Ethnic Song and Dance Festival in St. Paul, Minnesota. According to the local news, close to 8,000 Latvians from all over the world came in for the event. We had an amazing time, except this year, everybody returned home with a special gift. Almost everyone I know from the festival has COVID. I don't know why we're laughing, but somehow it's just a bunch of COVID-ridden Latvians is a funny thing. Thank you very much. Then we had Mary Jane Schwann. She was also, I think, donated into executive producership. I was the lucky winner of the Brockport, New York raffle and couldn't have imagined I would walk away as an executive producer. Thank you to all the attendees and the organizer, especially Sir Johnny B. We really appreciate it. Well, thank you very much. And thank you to
I think she has to go and make sure to put her on the today's executive producer list.
She was on the list when it came up.
Oh, did? I'm pretty sure. I thought that was after the fact.
We shall double check during our post-show production moments. If you'd like to become a producer of the best podcast in the universe, go to, well, if you'd like to know what we're really doing, we have our mission statement at noagendashow.net. Go look at the top. If you wonder why we do what we do, if you'd like to support what we do because of the value you get from it, go here.
Dvorak.org/NA.
And some jobs, karma for people who need it.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
You got karma.
And normally I would start the birthday jingle here, but I heard you going, so I'm going to let you say what you wanted to say.
And nothing to say.
You're kidding me. You went,
Maybe I was trying to clear my throat.
Here's our birthday list for today. We kick it off with Vicky Peel. I'm sorry. My mistake. Eric Schenkmeyer. There we go. Eric Schenkmeyer. Happy birthday to his smoking hot wife. Turned 54 on July 8th. Sir RJ of Grand Point, Manitoba, Canada, July 12th. Andy P., 50 on the 13th. That would be yesterday. Pamela Naiman, celebrating today. Emily Shade, 30 today as well. Heidi Walker, happy birthday to her son, Ross. He turns 40 on the 15th. Sir Subterranean says happy birthday to Sir Paul Chabaday, the Black, turned 35. Craig Kessler says celebrates on July 15th. He'll turn 41. And Craig Kessler says happy birthday in advance to Ethan Kessler, who will turn 11 on July 20th. Happy birthday from everybody here at the best podcast in the universe.
Hey.
Yes?
You said Vicky Peel, but then you stopped and it said it wasn't Vicky Peel. She's got a 33rd, double 33rd birthday. Very clear.
And she's not on the birthday list. I was reading from the titles. That's why I stopped. How about that? I'm glad you caught it. She has a title change, but did not. I started saying her name, but then I went to birthdays.
Yeah, I know. I thought you were saying her name, and then you stopped.
Thank you. Good catch.
Yeah, double 33rd. She's 33.
Yes.
She's 33.
Yes, 33. Yes. How old is she, 33? Wait, 33? Okay.
Double 33. Okay, double.
Shoot me now. Yes, these are producers who have decided to up the ante a bit. An additional $1,000 or more gets you a title change. Vicky Peel, Dame of the Rim Country, becomes Baroness of Arizona and celebrating her 33rd birthday at double six, double 33 today, something like that. Happy birthday, Vicky Peel. Charles Charles Peel, Knight of the Rim Country, becomes Baron of Arizona. Sir Scovey of the Piedmont becomes Viscount. Anonymous becomes Baron Vladimir Harkonnen, enslaver of the spice planet Dune. Chris Sprading becomes Sir Crush-a-Lot, Baronet Chris of the Sonoma Crush. Congratulations to these upgrades. And of course, you can find all of their peerage, hopefully, on the peerage map at, noagendapeerage.com. I think we have a whole website for that.
No, that's just a list of the various, there's something else it's called.
Well, it's itm.im/peerage.something. If you do a quick search, you'll find it. We've got one dame, one knight to handle here. Ooh, I got a blade in each hand. Do you have a blade?
Oh, you took my blade.
I'll take that one, too. Pamela Naiman and Mark Hampton pop up on the podium here. Thank you so much. Both of you have supported the No Agenda Show in the amount of $1,000 or more. Therefore, you become a knight and a dame. I'm very proud to pronounce thee as Dame Pamsterdam and Sir Mark. For you, we have hookers and blow, rent boys and Chardonnay, but also Lynchbage Bordeaux, Yak Burger, and Brussels sprouts, spice melange and water, Campari with a little bit of ice and some goat cheese muddled in there. We also got Rubenesque Women and Rosé, sparkling cider and escorts. We got some ginger ale and gerbils, and if you really need it, everybody loves it. We got some mutton and mead right here, everybody. Thank you very much for supporting the No Agenda Show. Congratulations on these peerage titles, and that means that you can go to noagendanation.com/rings and you can tell us where to send it, along with the wax to seal your important correspondence. Not just that, though. It also includes your certificate of authenticity. Thank you again for becoming Knights and Dames of the No Agenda Roundtable.
No Agenda Meetup.
Got a written meetup report from Carolyn Blaney. She said they had the meetup in Uxbridge, Ontario. Blast, she says. Pretty funny coincidence. There were three people in attendance that first heard of No Agenda because of your appearance on the Higher Side chats. Wow, it's funny that they even remembered it. Pretty cool that a few people just showed up last minute because they heard the meetup announced on the show. I'm digging moving the venues of the meetups, not only to get to try new bars and restaurants, visit new places, but I also get to meet new people. We had a great turnout, 7 people, including me, and I only knew one other person. The conversations were fun and engaging. That's exactly, you know what I'd like? Do a poll next time at your meetup, and I want to know, you know, some basic stats. Political affiliation, gender, sexuality, alphabet letter, anything. Let's see if these people, the skin color, please. Height, weight. I'd like to know all of these things. I think we have a very diverse group. A couple other meetup reports, including our Roger Roundy, who we were just talking about.
Hey, John and Adam. Hey, this is Sir William of West Pennsylvania at the Arlington meetup. Train's good, plane's bad.
This is Glenn from the West Coast, not the Left Coast. I'm here to celebrate two of my friends who I met at a No Agenda meetup. The question was asked. She said yes, and they plan to repopulate the Earth with children whose amygdalas are of a respectable size.
Hi, this is Bob from Annapolis, one of the subs in the water in the morning.
This is Rob and Becky from Saipan, our first meetup. Very stoked to be meeting all these wonderful people and walking away with Japanese anime and not Chinese hairballs.
This is the other Sir Chris from sexy South Arlington, the Columbia Pike in the morning.
TM Cerulea Crystal Palace, definitely not an Irish spook, if such a thing exists.
Uh-huh. Hi, TM, this is Professor Eric from Columbia, Maryland. Thank you very much, Roger.
This is John from Arlington in the morning.
Justin from Fairfax, thanks for saving my sanity.
Sir Kevin, keeper of time, came to Roger's reverse birthday party and got a stolen traffic cone.
This is David. Happy birthday, Roger.
This is Roger. This song's going out to me.
Lisa from Annapolis. Love you, mean it.
This is Jason from Fairfax. I support stealing from children.
Hey, it's Dame DC Girl in the morning.
Jeff from Springfield. I thank Roger for his lovely gift of toilet paper.
Hi, everyone. This is Manda from Fairfax. Thank you so much.
In the morning.
Oh, man. At least 4 spooks I heard. It's all them. It's so obvious. It's a spook meetup. Roundy, you're surrounded by them. North Idaho Sanity Brigade, your meetup report.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my great honor
to tell this a-hole to F off, because guess what, Santa Claus? For now, we live in a world where we're still allowed to possess things. And one of the things the North Idaho Sanity Brigade possesses is a boat and a couple of jet skis, which we are going to launch out on Lake Coeur d'Alene Saturday, July 30th. And we're looking to organize a flotilla with some fellow inland Northwest producers. If you want to join us and hop aboard, that's great. If you also own a boat, put it in the water and let's really make this a party.
In conclusion,
go to noagendameetups.com and RSVP. It'll be an awesome day in the sun where we will convene our excellent intellects to
shape the future.
I'm sorry, that was a promo, not a bad one. Here's the KC meetup, Sir Spencer. Promo, meetup report, we'll find out.
Hey, Kansas City, get your pasta glocks locked and loaded and join us for a No Agenda meetup Saturday, July 23rd at 3:33 at Carrabba's Italian Grill in Independence. RSVP with your amore at noagendameetups.com. It's going to be better than the best of pizza party.
All right. Here's some other meetups you can attend between now and our next program, the 14th today, 6 o'clock, the Pacific Rim Bistro. That is the suppertime meetup. That'll be in Atlanta, Georgia. The Denver Area Sunshine Respectors meetup, 6:30 at the City Park Denver Museum of Nature and Science. Bring a chair. That'll be tonight as well. Tomorrow, I Must Be High. It's the second meetup. If you remember to go, 7 o'clock, McSorley's Wonderful Saloon and Grill, Toronto, Ontario. On Saturday, the Tiny Amygdala Big Appetite Barbecue at Sir Lane's Place, 2 o'clock Alaska time. And you got to check out noagendameetups.com for information. Also on Saturday, the Shrunken Amygdala Support Group, 2 o'clock Eastern, Taft's Brewporium, Cincinnati, Ohio. Resist We Much, Send Cal Monthly, 2:30 Pacific, Barrel House Brewing Company and Tap Room. That's Saturday. Ness Creek Amygdala Retreat, 4 o'clock Central Slave Time, Ness Creek Festival Site, that's outside of Big River, Saskatchewan, Canada. And that is on Saturday. The Wine Rebels in Prague. Hey, Prague. In Prague, Czech Republic. Wine Rebels Karlin in Prague, 5 o'clock. I hope more people show up than last time. I have a feeling they will. The Spook Free Meetup, not a joke, 5 o'clock Eastern, Mossback Distillery, Jefferson City, Tennessee. That's Saturday. Karaoke Meetup, 7 o'clock, Carson Sports Bar and Grill, St. Louis, Missouri. And then finally on Sunday, we have the Pamsterdam Happy Summer. That's our brand new dame, Pam, Pamsterdam. 4 o'clock Lowlands Time, Stadstrand de Verbroedenij. De Verbroedenij. And finally for Sunday, Sunset in the Land of the Eagles, 7 o'clock Euroland Time. Sandra Terrace's Shisha Lounge in Rugamitat Huksa Sarande, Albania. Have we ever had a successful meetup in Albania yet?
It's usually one person.
That's
actually two people. One person and then the Albanian secret police. You got person, secret police.
These are great to attend. You learn all kinds of fun things. Meet children from other lands. Go to noagendameetups.com. If you can't find one on that list, start one yourself. It's easy.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days.
Bum, bum, bum.
You want to be where you want me. Triggered on hell's lame.
Everybody feels the same. It's like a party. All right. Should alert the affiliates. We're running a little long today. Well, we're having too much fun.
So what do you got for ISOs?
I got a couple. I'll play you several of them right now.
Moments of douchey.
Moments of douchey. We have...
Those podcasts are going to run your brain.
It's a little too long.
Too long.
We have this.
Probably.
No.
Definitely.
Okay, we have that one. This one was kind of funny.
Oh, hey. Whoa. Whoa.
You know what that was from?
No.
Bunch of nerds watching a SpaceX engine blow up. That's what it is. You got to listen to those guys. They talk, well, you know, this thing is going to bring lots of satellites into the air.
Like, oh, hey.
Whoa, whoa. What's it?
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa. Whoa. not appropriate, though. And maybe this one. Maybe this is the one.
Think again, sunshine.
I like that one. I got one that's pretty straightforward. It's just the only one. It's extraordinary.
Oh, well, let me see.
Extraordinary.
I think the think again, sunshine wins.
Think again, sunshine.
Yeah, okay. You can use that.
It's Jordan Peterson.
So is it?
Yeah. 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 I guess he got a big contract with the Daily Wire.
I guess. I just think it's beneath him personally, but okay.
Well, they're gathering a whole bunch of people. They have, who else do they have?
Besides Ben Shapiro. They got some VC money.
No, I think, isn't the Razor guy, isn't he?
Harry? Razor?
Someone with money is...
Dollar Shave Club?
Someone with money is...
There's about five of these guys that make these...
I don't know. Someone with money is doing stuff in there. I have two quick real news segments. Just want to make sure we keep you up to speed in case you're at the water cooler and not everybody wants to talk about Roe or want to talk about Russia or want to talk about Biden. I want to talk about COVID.
An attempt to take a dramatic selfie at the top of Italy's Mount Vesuvius last weekend sent a tourist from Baltimore, Maryland, sliding into the volcano's crater. Well, the man's phone fell out of his hand, and when he tried to get it, he ended up slipping several yards in. Officials say he was lucky he didn't plunge into the abyss and escaped only with cuts and bruises.
I don't think if the guy didn't get sucked into fall into the crater, I don't think it should be a news report. You know,
it's just this happens constantly. People falling off of ledges.
And this one is my all-time favorite.
Thousands of dogs will soon need new homes after a court-ordered rescue mission. 4,000 beagles will be moved out of a research facility in Virginia because the government says they've been mistreated.
Are those Fauci's beagles?
Probably Fauci's beagles.
I mean, seriously, when we heard that the NIH was doing experiments on beagles, it was a story for a little bit. And we're like, oh, that's horrible. Beagles are so cute. 4,000.
Yeah, 4,000 sad beagles, sad puppies.
Thank you, Fauci.
Massively
sad puppies. That was bad.
No, they should have no problem. Beagles are in high demand. It's a high demand dog.
All right, you got something to play us out with?
Yeah, nothing. I was ending it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Well, then I shall do
it. I mean, wait a minute.
Hold on, stop. Okay.
Stop the presses. Hold your horses.
Whoa, Nelly.
Let's go over this. Since you ran off a bunch of countries that are having all these issues, you might as well bring in the Haitians. There you go.
The Haitians? Okay, Haitians.
Protests over fuel shortages in Haiti shut down roads in Port-au-Prince today. A war between rival gangs has forced a key fuel terminal to close, and most gas stations have stopped working, too. At least 50 people have died in the violence, and thousands more have no food or water.
Oh, and on that happy note, everybody, on that very happy note, we shall leave you. Wow. Big show, man. Big show. Thank you, everybody, for supporting your No Agenda show. After all, you are the producers. You bring it all home. That's how it works. I don't know what we're celebrating, but coming up next, we have...
End of show.
End of show. Hey, it's the end of show. Sir Gene Speaks. Ah, there we go. The Duke of Texas. Duke of Sheriff of Austin, Duke of Texas, my buddy, Sir Gene. End of show mixes, Derek Birch, Professor JJ, Tidewater Architect, and Rolando Gonzalez. You will not be disappointed. Coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA Region Number 6 in the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where corruption reigns, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We return on Sunday. Right here on No Agenda. Please join us and remember us at Dvorak.org/NA. Be kind to everyone and each other. Hey, adios, mofos and such.
When I tell my friends and a fam that I'm buying Bitcoin, man, they looking at me like it's a scam. Looking at me with one eye open, yo, I'm the one I'm in. Almost lost it all, now I'm out of dates, feeling like a cyclops. Nah, that would be my pops. I think he got injured from being boosted in vax, but he's okay now, thank God. I used to call him Slick the Ruler cause he wore a pirate patch. Man, you got a shitty job, oh yeah, me too. Ever heard a narcissist? She stinks, P.U. Eminem was a favorite, guess you could call me a stan. Working at the home gym, now I'm bumping sick, man. Can't get enough of prime time. 99, Alexander Stein, yo, always gotta grind. He loves to shine, he loves a confrontation and rhymes. An entrepreneur for sure, sifting through the bullshit and manure. What's on your mind, what you gotta say? Can someone send this to Dr. Dre, maybe in W.A.? These comics are the last hope for free speech. You got these pastors and willing to tell the truth when they preach. Y'all some losers, alcohol abusers, pill poppers trying to keep the job. The circle of influencers, we're the movers and the shakers. We dare you to try to take us head on, but like Peter McCullough, they won't debate us. I said civil disobedience is probably why they hate us. Yo, these politicians are supposed to work for us. In that case, which candidate can you really trust? Your unelected officials are sus. Need some therapy, I'm back on the Bible. I bump that new logic and rust. Trust, I bring it up cause no agenda. We all get our news. We just want him with some humor and less biased views. Yeah, yo, I bring it up cause no agenda. We just want our news with some less biased views.
Now to the calls from bodega owners for better protection.
As distinct as the bodegas of the Bronx.
Bodega clerk Jose Alba.
The diversity of this community.
He was just trying to defend himself. Was arrested and put in Rikers Island.
It was self-defense, plain and simple, said everyone in this group.
As distinct as the bodegas of the Bronx.
Blasted the Manhattan DA's decision to charge Alba with second-degree murder.
The diversity of this community, and as unique as the breakfast tacos here in San Antonio.
This morning, First Lady Jill Biden facing criticism after telling a group of Latino voters they were, quote, as unique as breakfast tacos.
Bodega clerk Jose Alba.
As distinct as the bodegas of the Bronx.
This month, The World Council for Health has called for a global recall of all vaccines because worldwide, 40,000 deaths with the vaccine.
We must acknowledge COVID-19 genetic injections cause far more harm than good and provide zero benefit relative to risk for the young and healthy. These experimental gene therapy treatments can damage your children as well as yourself.
Typical standard for any biological product is 50 deaths to pull it off the market. 50, not 40,000.
They do not reduce COVID-19 infection, which is treatable and not terminal.
So when there is a global recall by an international organization, this committee ought to be having emergency meetings.
Furthermore, the most recent data demonstrates that you are more likely to become infected or have disease or even death if you've been vaccinated compared to the unvaccinated people. This is shocking to hear, but it is what the data are showing.
79% of people with Omicron were fully vaccinated. That is prima facie evidence that the vaccines have completely failed.
They can damage your heart, your brain, your reproductive tissue, and your lung. Heart, your brain, your reproductive tissue, and your heart, your brain, your reproductive tissue, and your lungs. This can include permanent damage of your immune system. They can damage your heart, your brain, your reproductive tissue, and your lung. Heart, your brain, your reproductive tissue, and your lung. Heart, your brain, your reproductive tissue, and your lung.
In case you've been wondering where he is, welcome Hunter Biden.
The man I most admire in the world, that God to me thinks I'm a God. And my brother did too. And the three of us, it was literally, I had the support to know I can do anything.
You can talk about jumping for any other things I wanted to. We'll talk about anything that I wanted to, and that he believes if I think it's important to me, then he will work a way in which to make it a part of his platform. My dad respects me more than he respects anyone in the world, and I know that to be certain.
Yeah, other than the crack, right?
When do I get to be Hercules? Then I'm going to quit the crack and go on to the air one. That's some pretty out there advice, but I'm going. I have to smoke crack with my area. Where the fuck is that?
Crack brought me to a place that I've never had been to before. I was at every hotel in Los Angeles, basically. Every motel, every hotel, until they wouldn't have a room for me.
It gets worse when I think probably when you end up in jail.
Dvorak.org/NA
Think again, sunshine.